going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Huh? What are the odds? What are the odds? What are the odds? Let me see. My mama told me. Now, Ray's mama told him, scratch a liar, find a thief. Okay, my mama told me, you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. You need to be very careful, you need to be very concerned about who it is you hang around with. Okay, you need to be very concerned about that. And you are judged by those that you hang around with. And if you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas, you cannot help but get what a dog gets if you're sleeping with him. Why are you saying that this morning, Liz Brown? Well, the polling company that did polling for Joe Lieberman and George Bush just pled guilty to and paid faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000 because they cheat and lied on their polls. If you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Come on now. Come on now. How much of a coinky dink are we supposed to believe? Kind of like asking folks to buy the idea of there's such a thing as jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron. Okay? George Bush and Joe Lieberman use the same polling people, and the polling people that they use lie, cheat, and steal. Huh? Huh? Of course they do. Of course they do. Joe Lieberman, George W. Bush use the same polling company, and the polling company has been convicted of lying, cheating, and stealing about their numbers. Come on now. You can set your clock by it. You can set your clock by it, just like you can set your clock by the fact that if it's an election time, there's a Bin Laden tape. Set your clock by it. Set your clock by it. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. I ain't scared. Come on with it. I'll be back.
all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. Let me say it again. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. Let me say it again. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, where else? You're going to get everything that you need. You're going to get it for a great deal. You're going to have some great bargains, and you're going to get great customer service. Get your shop on. You know you have a Sears card. You know you have some items you need to buy. Get on down to Sears. Tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Ooh, I got something I want to talk about.
The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah, there's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine.
It's my world. This is Liz Brown. Don't you come up messing in my world. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff. Ooh, so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Did anybody see the creepy interview of George Bush? Honest to God, okay, I don't think that you have to be at a person with a degree in a master's degree, a doctorate, more than that, 30, 50 years of experience with psychology to be able to assess the things that we can assess as just being in this world for more than a minute. Been in this world a little over three decades. And I have to ask this question. I know things. And you know things. Every one of us have had the personal life experience of seeing somebody and either getting a read from that spirit, a read from their energy, a read from their actions, a read from their words, a read from their facial expressions, a read from their general behavior. We have all had the ability at some point in time in our lives, from the moment, almost the moment we got here, we have the ability to read when someone ain't right. Now, you may not be able to put your finger on the button and say paranoid schizophrenia. I mean, you may not, most of us may not be able to put the name to the he ain't right piece. I dig that. I got that. But you got the ability, your God-given sense of walking by some people and say, ooh, something about him ain't right. Rolling up on somebody, having a conversation with them and walking away and say, ooh, Lord, that person ain't right. Something wrong with him. And my something wrong with him meter was just a popping and a popping and a popping when I was watching that interview with Boy George in the limousine last night. Everybody appeared awkward. 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 With that interview and the continence, the projection, the body language, the words that were, I mean, we know that that Boy George really has a inability to communicate. We know that his vocabulary ain't deep. We know that he's not a bright man. We know that. But there was something extra triples. He looked, what's the word I'm looking for? Particularly stupid in that interview. Questions were asked. Well, Mr. President, do you think that how do you think the House races are going to go this year?
They're going to go fine. They're going to go fine.
He talked that fast. And you had,
they're going to go fine.
It was like it was all one word. They're going to go fine.
They're going to go fine.
That was the way that he was saying it. And my grandmama would say, Elizabeth, that's crazy talk. And that's all I was, my grandmama's voice was going through my head, Elizabeth. That's crazy talk. And that's exactly what I was. Ding, 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 ding. That was what was going on in my head because I was trying to identify it, you know, fighting the urge to hit the remote and to move on and not subject myself to having to watch this. I kept saying, this is what you do for a living. This is your work. You got to watch it. 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 But ding, 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 ding. Crazy talk. Crazy talk. Now, there are those of you out there that are listening and kicking your dogs and spitting and hollering and trying to justify turning away from the show. I understand, but you ain't going to be able to turn away because the truth is compelling. That's why you can't. Well, y'all are wondering why you can't turn it off. The truth is compelling. That's why. But feel this. Feel this. This man is, from my perspective, profoundly, something ain't right with him. And because I don't have the doctorate, because I don't have the master's, you know, I started off with wanting to have a degree in psychology. I took some of the courses. I ain't an expert. So what we have to do is bring on the expert, and we're going to do that. When is that, Joe? Is that next Wednesday? Are we bringing on the Dr. Justin Frank? Is that Wednesday of next week? I think it's Wednesday of next week. We're going to be bringing on the good Dr. Justin Frank, who wrote the book Bush on the Couch. We're going to bring on the good doctor because there's a lot of stuff that's happened since we've talked. Crazy stuff. I saw this. David Letterman. No, he's not a doctor, nor does he play one on television. He's a comedian and a talk show host. Television talk show host. What is it, 30 years now? Seems like. He did the top 10 things for top 10 George Bush moments. Now, these are all videos, okay? So these weren't David Letterman interpretation of what George Bush said or David Letterman making fun of or twisting and contorting something that George Bush said. These were actual video shots of George Bush moments. And there were three things in there that I found to be extraordinarily compelling and remarkable
given the position that you are in. And there are things that show that he is woefully, woefully incapable, incompetent of the position that he now possesses. So just check this out. And again, these are videotapes. There was one, come on. This stuff is just, it would be ignorant. There's one tape where George Bush is in the middle of a bigwig diplomat's function. Laura Bush, his wife, comes up to hug him at the podium. He reaches down and pats her on her behind. And in front of the president of Pakistan and God and everybody. That's ignorant. That's ignorant. It's disrespectful to her. It's disrespectful to you. What y'all think? What you think? You in the middle? Are you so out of touch with reality? You think you're at your living room couch? He patted her on the behind. That ain't cute. That don't mean that he love her. I thought it was ignorant and woefully inappropriate and something that someone, a childish person, would do. Okay, you don't like that one. He's walking to Air Force One. The cameras are on him. Now the guy, and I think this is a nasty habit to begin with, George Bush, who they say is the president of the United States, is walking to Air Force One, talking to reporters, waving his hand. He turns around and just spits. Okay, you're foul. You're nasty. Who would do that? Men who spit in public anyway is a nasty, dirty, filthy habit. Nobody want to walk in your stuff. But the guy that's the president, that they say is the president of the United States, and again, you're not by yourself. There are cameras watching you. You know that because you're waving to them. And he turns his head and just hawks one. It's foul. Foul. Ugh. And this isn't something that I made up or someone read who wrote this said he did. I saw that he did this. Nasty. 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 And things that are inconsistent with a person who has a grip on reality and understands the world that he lives. How are you going to pat your wife's behind in front of all of these dignitaries? Why would you do that? Because you're ignorant and you are woefully unprepared for the position that you stole your way into, that you stole your way into. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the NFL. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270 heavy volume going on due to an earlier accident. Southbound 270 at Doherty Ferry and Big Bend, look for an injury accident. Eastbound 70 at 79, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 at 44, look for no problems to report. Northbound 55, oh, I'm sorry, westbound 70 at 94 is road construction. Left right lane's closed. Westbound 64 at 5570 looks good. Westbound 270 at Illinois 111 and 203 there's road construction. Slow traffic as crews are picking up after overnight work. And eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 370 look for normal traffic. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the NFL. NFL football is back and better than ever with the NFL opening kickoff presented by Sprint. It all starts on Thursday, September 7th at 8 p.m. on NBC, sponsored in part by Canon. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the lower 60s. For Saturday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's a tale of monstrous proportions. It's a monster hit.
Oh, I'm feeling good today, Mikey.
It's Fall Down Funny.
Okay, Sully, here we go.
Join Mike and Sully as Disney on Ice presents Disney Pixar's Monsters, Inc. See the monsterific mayhem of Monstropolis live in your hometown as all your favorite monsters generate megawatt laughter that will leave you screaming for more. You love the movie.
Make way, coming through.
You'll flip for Disney on Ice presents Disney Pixar's Monsters, Inc.
I'm a natural.
You won't believe your eye. Disney on Ice presents Disney Pixar's Monsters, Inc. Your family will scream with laughter. Scare up your tickets today.
Playing September 13th through the 17th at Savas Center. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster or call 314-241-1888 or log on to DisneyOnIce.com.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877. Whoo, 920 WGNU. That's 1-877-920 WGNU. Good Lord. Good Lord. I'm looking at this. You know, am I? I don't know. am I a prophet? Am I a prophet? I'm looking at the front page of this, USA Today. What I say about housing? What I say about housing? It's gonna be bad, right? Been bringing it to you. Been bringing it to you. Front page of USA Today. Housing market forecasts worsens. The outlook for the nation's housing market is even weaker than earlier projected. That's because you lied the first time around. No. I mean, yes. You lied. And you're trying to do that keep hope alive piece. The outlook for the nation's housing market is even weaker than early projected, mainly because sellers are refusing to cut prices enough after towering price gains of the boom years. Talk about keeping hope alive. And I think that one of the reasons why they're doing this is because, It's because people are
there has been such an allowance of craziness to occur in the housing market. Predatory loans, mortgage schemes, people lying on their applications to get houses and there's nobody checking. People lying about exaggerating the amount of money that they are earning, sometimes double what they're really earning in order to get into this house. Some sellers are so panicked and so hooked in this that they have to sell the houses at these prices because they are going to take a huge loss or be financially ruined if they don't. These are desperate housewives. These are desperate homeowners, okay? These are desperate homeowners. No, they haven't brought their prices down because they're too afraid to face the economic reality of the world that they find themselves in. I can't afford this house, and I can't afford to sell it for any lower than what I have it. It's like damned if I do and double, triple damned if I don't. That's bad. That's bad. Sellers are more stubborn than I expected, said a chief economist. For 5 years in a row, it was a seller's market. They were calling the shots and they got accustomed to it. They now expect the sales of existing homes to fall 7.6% this year, worse than the 4.4% drop predicted in January. New home sales are projected to plunge 16%. Folks are still thinking they can get top dollar for their homes. I don't think reality is set in. Within months, prices are likely to cave in forces of supply and demand. There was a record of 3.8 million homes for sale. That's a 7.3-month supply. Well, y'all need to listen to the wake-up call. You need to listen to the wake-up call because, you know, you need to. Because you're going to be in bad shape if you don't. Be bad shape if you don't. Because this is where you find out what's happening, folks. What month is it? Is it October yet, Howard? It's still September, right? Do you know the stores are putting out Christmas stuff right now? They're putting out Christmas stuff right now in September, in the early part of September. Oh, they know. They know how bad it is out here. And I'm sorry, I just put out some incorrect information. I take that back. TJ Maxx and Marshalls began selling Christmas ornaments in August. They didn't wait for September. Walmart is selling Christmas decorations already. JCPenney's last week put out 8 million copies of its Christmas big gift books. Toys R Us, they will be pushing their, before September ends, they will be pushing their Christmas toys. Too bad they're not going to be pushing any Christmas money, because it's going to be a lean Christmas for lots and lots and lots of folks. We need a reality check. We need a reality check of why things are so awful. Things are so awful because we're spending billions of dollars on a war that can never be won. There is no way that the war that you're... The dumbest kid in school has got us into a fight that can never end. That's what happens when you follow the dumbest kid in school. You ain't supposed to be following the dumbest kid. They will get you into a mess that you couldn't have conceived of. We are in a war that can never be won. I defy you. Tell me. What's the proof of the ending of the war on terrorism? What's the proof of that? What's the proof of that? Well, what's the evidence of that? What's the demarcation of that? What does that look like? If George Bush says that every single day somebody's planning to kill us, how do you ever stop that? How do you stop that? Oh, I know one way. Is that you make friends with people. You have diplomatic relationships with people. You have a working relationship with people. You talk to people. You can't kill everybody. Well, again, trying to explain that to the dumbest kid in the class, it's a very difficult lesson. Why not? Why can't we kill everybody? Why can't we kill everybody? How do you end the war that Boy George has got us into? How do you end it? You can't. You can't. Not the war that he's got us into. Everybody needs to take a deep breath, bag it up, redefine what we're doing, because you put some jobs in front of Americans, they ain't going to trip on anybody outside of this country, because we are an isolationist nation. Oh, Jesus. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much, much, much business to tend to. This is an amazing world that we find ourselves in. And I don't know. Y'all need to pay attention to my show. It looks like Mr. Bolton is not going to get his vote on confirmation after all. Senator Lincoln Chafee has pulled the plug on a push by his fellow Republicans to confirm John Bolton as a UN ambassador, saying he had more questions that needed to be answered. That's a big N-O. That's a negatory, big fella. That's a negatory vote there. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference does an open-eyed American public have. They're like, are you kidding me? You think I'm going to step out here on Front Street for John Bolton? I'm trying to get reelected. I'm not even letting George Bush's name come out of my mouth. And I'm going to step out on Front Street for John Bolton. You need to shut up. They say that the delay might be brief. I expect that probably next week they will have an opportunity to take it up again. Now, let's just deconstruct that sentence for 1 second. Let's deconstruct that sentence by a State Department official. I would expect probably early next week they will have an opportunity to take it up again. Does that say they're going to be doing that next week? No, baby, that's not what it says. I expect means it ain't happening. Probably means it ain't happening. Have an opportunity to take it up again. It ain't happening. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back to more deconstruction of stuff after this. Stay with me.
Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. Some 1,500 people died in the continuing violence in Baghdad during the month of August. That figure from the Iraqi Health Ministry is much higher than previously believed. Military officials had previously announced that a new security operation that was undertaken last month had dropped the number of such deaths. This information clearly shows that sectarian violence and insurgent action is far from deterred. The numbers provided by the health ministry came directly from numbers that they got from hospitals and funeral homes in the Baghdad area. And Dateline Washington.
Yesterday, the Senate voted to approve a $469 billion package of spending for the Pentagon. $63 billion is for emergency funding to keep the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan going. But that could go up to $70 billion after negotiations happen between both houses. The cost of the wars is now coming close to $500 billion. Another $200 million was appropriated to reinstate an intelligence team that is dedicated to finding Osama bin Laden. That team was disbanded earlier this year. And $700 million has been appropriated to eradicate opium production in Afghanistan, where the Taliban have come back to life and are relying on one of the biggest harvests of poppies to help fund its fight against America. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
...of conflict and destruction. The heart yearns for a means to find real and lasting peace in many situations. Guests talk about how one can start to find a foothold through prayer to diffuse a combative environment. That's on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Sergeant Gary Wigert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wigert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. That would be my fax. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I want to, matter of fact, let me say something to the listeners. A lot of people probably don't really pay attention. Matter of fact, I haven't called your show in a couple weeks, so I don't know if they say anything about me anyway. This debate that Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is offering to the Bush. I wonder why, well, of course I know why, but I wonder why Bush is scared to debate against him. You know, you would think he's holding some secrets back, and you know Ahmadinejad would expose him.
Well, here's the thing, and I've talked about this because this isn't the first time that he's offered to debate. He offered to debate him prior to his appearance on 60 Minutes, the president of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that is interesting is that the administration has responded saying that that's a preposterous idea or that's inappropriate. And to me, that response, it says, speaks volumes about who you are. If we as a nation right now are being inundated with news story after news story about 9/11, that the terrorists are out there, we've got to get to the terrorists. So this administration feels that he needs to explain and explain and explain and explain why we are in this war forever and ever again. Amen. And he's using the media to tell his tale. Well, then why not use that same media to bring home your terrorist message of why this guy should be killed, why this guy should not have nuclear weapons? happens, why this guy is wrong. So we should be hearing from George Bush, bring it on, let's do this debate thing, because a perfect opportunity. I'll go on TV with you. And you know what? You know what the only condition that the president of Iran said?
What?
Is that that it not be edited.
That's right. That's right. And also, you remember, too, back in 2003, that also Saddam offered them a debate before the war, the invasion of Iraq.
That is correct.
And he also turned that down. So, you know, I was just...
He owes it to the American people, quite frankly.
Right,
I believe that George W. Bush owes it to the American people. You've made the case that Iran does not deserve or should not have nuclear weapons. You've made the case that they are monsters. Then bring it to us.
Right.
Bring it to us and explain. And let him talk and let you talk and let us decide.
That's my whole thing. I would love to see it.
It ain't going to happen.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yes, ma'am. There was something I found out yesterday that Bush is or... sponsoring a new bill regarding prisoners of war.
Uh-huh.
That included people, which means in essence the American people.
Uh-huh.
Since he couldn't overturn the Supreme Court decision regarding that, I wonder if you knew anything about that.
I've heard that. I don't have the details of it in front of me, but there has been an effort on the part of this administration to blur the lines. One of the things that I've talked about on my show constantly is that whenever people are trying to, whenever a government is attempting to oppress the people, they go after the people that are the most vulnerable or that there's already the understanding that these people have less value than other people. So you go after the weakest people, you go after poor people, you go after people of color, you go after women because there's already, the hard work has already been done. You've already removed them from the human experience. But the problem is that whenever you have an oppressive government, they don't stop at one thing because they are people that oppress. They oppress everybody. So they loosen it up so that everybody, eventually they will oppress everybody. This is what has happened with this administration. They began with saying that they're the terrorists, that we should take away all the laws that apply to us good people from the terrorists because they don't deserve democracy like we deserve democracy or constitutional protection like we deserve constitutional protection. And in so doing, what this administration has done is they have started to, in we are more and more included in those that can be gotten without constitutional protections.
Okay. I have one more question. What would the president of Iran have to do to be in this country to debate Bush?
He'd have to have a visa issued, and I believe he's already going to be in the country. I think a visa has already been issued to him. He's going to be speaking in New York. He's already, I think he's supposed to be in the country this week or next week.
Okay, will it be televised or?
Oh no, I don't know. It's not going to be televised on NBC, I don't believe. I believe if the president of Iran is going to be speaking at a university in New York, I have forgotten which one.
Okay.
Will that be televised? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, thank you for your time and have a good weekend.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. Don't forget that we have the Urban Institute will be meeting tomorrow, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. At the address is 1020 North Taylor. Be there. We have much business to tend to. Be there. And in our next hour, Looking Black, we're going to have Dr. Ron Walters joining us for Looking Black. Amazing academic. Wise man, I'm very excited, Looking Black in our next hour, so you don't want to miss that. 1-877-920-WGNU, get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz. All you would have to say to the president is Mr. President, could the Secret Service get to the point one day of finding and eliminating all potential presidential assassins, that the service could be disbanded and you could walk around alone? That would display his crazed logic about ending all terrorism. It's like shoveling snow with a teaspoon or attempting to empty the Pacific Ocean with a coffee cup. Impossible. Thank you very much, Liz.
Good point. Good point. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ask George Bush, when's the point that he wouldn't need Secret Service people anymore? You can't ever, you always will. So then why would you say that, why would you put us in a place where we have to be, we have to provide Secret Service, what, the same stuff that you have to every American citizen. You've made us a target. You have made us a target. You have started a war that can never be ended. You've done this. And we've got to back off of this. We can afford to put Secret Service around living presidents. We can't afford for every American citizen. You've made us a target. You have made us a target. Mildred.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm just fine. You know, Liz, I have never absorbed the idea that this is a war on terrorism. I've never seen it. I've never believed it. Just because he jumped on television and said it, and people licked it up and decided to say it, I have never accepted this idea. Another thing, why is he forever on television? George W., why does he give these weekly speeches? I don't know of any other president who's ever done this. He's continually in our faces trying to push through his ideas on television. He uses TV to his advantage. And you know what I do? When I see him come on, I turn off. If I want to know anything about him, I'll read a newspaper or a magazine and find out. As far as I'm concerned, this man is irrelevant, and I don't try to make it any other way, because I just don't care for him. I've never cared for him. He has taken us down the hole, and I don't see how anybody in this country can respect or admire him. Thank you, Liz.
You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, this is Darrell Babel. I'd just like to make a comment about to add to your conclusion of being a prophet. Like September 12th, nuclear war is going to start by the Bible prophecies. And this was also added in by a book by Malachi Martin. He was a confidant of Pope Paul II. He said that the Muslims would suffer greatly, and Bush and the rest of the leaders of the world are controlled by the Catholic Church, and Bush can't do anything unless the Catholic Church okays it, and the things that he's going to do, I'm trying to see,
okay.
Watching him to see.
Okay, I got
any
a roll.
Indication.
Got a roll. Listen, folks, I'll be back in the next hour. My guest in the Looking Black segment is Dr. Ron Walters. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many,
are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Firefighters doused the flames from a deadly car bombing today in Afghanistan. At least 16 people were killed in the suicide blast near the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. Two of the victims were U.S. soldiers. More from the BBC's Alistair Lightheart.
This is Massoud Square, this monument, a well-known landmark in the city. The trucks have come in and they've been clearing up this area because it was covered with body parts as well as wreckage, metal fragments from the blast. This is the center of Kabul. It's unusual to see such a huge blast.
There were also a number of injuries in that explosion. An American soldier has been killed in a roadside bombing south of Baghdad. At least three Iraqi pilgrims headed for a religious festival in Karbala were also killed today. Cheers and applause for the crew of the space shuttle Atlantis. The astronauts heading over now to the shuttle in their Astrovan, appropriately enough named. The countdown is underway at the Kennedy Space Center. NASA trying again later today to launch Atlantis. The fuel cell and electrical problems that scrubbed Wednesday and yesterday's attempts have been addressed. There are just a few days to go until the fifth anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and Al-Qaeda has reportedly released an alarming new tape. It purportedly shows Osama bin Laden helping to train recruits. As the anniversary approaches, President Bush's popularity, well, suffice it to say, it's seen better days. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The president's job approval has lifted to 42% from 33% last spring, but it is still less than half the approval he earned in the wake of the terrorist attacks. In the ABC News poll completed last night, 55% disapprove of how he's handling the country, and significant leading up to the September 11th anniversary, 50% of those polled say the war in Iraq has improved U.S. security, 47% say it has not. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
This is ABC News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, see our ad in Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
He was one of the most influential men in Washington. Well, now Tom DeLay has found a new area in which he can throw around his weight, network TV. Here's ABC's Richard Cantu.
Call it the Tom DeLay factor in the upcoming season of ABC's Dancing with the Stars. The indicted former House Majority Leader sent a mass mailing to his supporters urging them to vote for country singer Sarah Evans on the show. He sees this edition of Dancing with the Stars as nothing less than a battle between family values and smut. DeLay is particularly keen on seeing Evans beat Jerry Springer. He tells supporters that would send a message to Hollywood and the media that smut has no place on TV. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hertz is going green. The car rental company now is offering a line of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars. You can reserve one of them, the company says, by asking for something in the green collection. Hertz says a lot of customers have been doing just that for months, so now they're responding to those requests. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, St. Louis Fire Chief Sherman George says he's proud to have had Medic Christopher Walsh as a member of his team.
His ratings are all outstanding, so that says a lot about him. His co-workers, they all feel good about him. He's a true professional, and he will serve our country.
Walsh was killed by a roadside bomb on Labor Day while serving in Iraq. Funeral arrangements are pending in Kansas, where he grew up. Walsh will be buried at Fort Leavenworth National Cemetery. Police believe speed may be partly to blame for a deadly single-car crash in St. Charles County.
21-year-old Brandon Hamby of Lake St. Louis was killed late Wednesday night when the car he was riding in slid off the road and went into a farm pond in Cottleville. The 18-year-old driver of the car wasn't injured. Police believe she may have taken a turn too quickly. Attorney General Jay Nixon is taking a local closed wedding photography business to court. Nixon's lawsuit against Horton Photography alleges that the business took payment up front from at least 60 customers and then failed to deliver photos. A judge issued a temporary restraining order freezing Horton's assets yesterday. Another hearing is set for September 18th. President Bush will be in Missouri today to stump for Senator Jim Talent's re-election campaign. The president will arrive in Kansas City this afternoon for a private Talent for Senate reception. This visit comes as state Democrats prepare to welcome former President Bill Clinton to St. Louis for a rally with Talent's opponent Claire McCaskill tomorrow. Finally this hour, St. Louis County is encouraging senior citizens to take advantage of tax breaks. St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley visited seniors at the Afton Community Center yesterday to talk about the Homestead Preservation Credit, which gives some qualified senior citizens and disabled individuals a credit on their real estate property taxes. You can visit the County Department of Revenue website or go to any county revenue office to find out if you qualify. The deadline for applying for a credit on your 2005 real estate property taxes is October 16th. Approved residents will see the credit on their 2007 tax bills. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by General Motors. General Motors introduces 100,000 miles of coverage and a whole new level of confidence now standard on 2007 cars and trucks. Learn more at GM.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Southbound 270 at Doherty Ferry and Big Bend, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Northbound 55 at Union, there's an accident reported. Two lanes are blocked. Only the right lanes are getting by this hour, and traffic is slow through Lindbergh. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through 270, expect heavy volume already this morning. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170, no problems to report there. Westbound 70 at 94, there's construction, right lanes closed. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays. Westbound 64 at 5570, you've got some delays. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for heavy volume going on there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's restaurants. McDonald's premium roast coffee is made just the way you like it. Taste it for yourself. Get a free small coffee during Free Coffee Mondays. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For the rest of today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, a chance of showers, high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Oh,
say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal security.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome to Looking Black. Our guest journalist this week is Dr. Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Dr. Walters, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Fine, fine.
Very good. I really wanted to, I know that there are a bunch of things that you wanted to talk about, but I wanted to talk to you about, before our first break here, Katrina. And the response of this nation, especially in light of the daily messages that we're hourly messages that we're getting about 9/11 and the attention and the focus and the concern, the attention that was given to the year anniversary of Katrina. What's your take on it?
Well, Liz, there were a lot of activities going on. There was a lot of commemoration in New Orleans, and there was a lot of commiseration about the fact that the federal government still had not done what it was supposed to do from the standpoint of reconstruction. The Corps of Engineers has rebuilt the levees. They cannot tell whether or not the levees will withstand a Category 4 or 5 hurricane. They think that it will withstand a Category 3. They're assessing to see whether or not the money can be spent. The president is saying the money is not there right now. I mean, it's going overseas, as you know. So that's a big debate. There's another huge debate about reconstruction itself. You've got $1,210 billion has been let by the federal government. You've got $12 billion of that being spent in New Orleans. I shouldn't say being spent because it really has not been spent, primarily because at the state level, the Louisiana Recovery Authority has got its hand in the pie, and it actually controls the flow of that money into New Orleans. Meanwhile, New Orleans does not have a stable reconstruction plan. So you've got problems all along the line with the federal government through FEMA administering the money down through the state, then down to the local level. And so there's a lot of chaos going there, a lot of finger-pointing, and the bottom line here is that people, no matter where you find them, and I've been to Atlanta, the Gulf. As a matter of fact, I've been part of a commission put together by the black churches headquartered in Chicago, a national commission, did a whole series of hearings. And no matter where you go, people want to go back home. Mm-hmm. What's happening is that the political confusion has created a limbo, which makes it difficult for many to consider that.
We're going to take a break. My guest this hour is Dr. Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. This is Looking Black. Liz Brown,
I'll be back.
Oh, my tooth fell out.
The coach says I can play shortstop.
I can be a deciduous tree.
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the first that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good to you. There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Hey, baby.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this hour is Dr. Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. And Dr. Walters, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
So what other issues have caught your eye in the last week or so?
Well, you know, we were talking about Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that caught my eye is how quickly that went off the radar screen.
Yes.
And now we're back into the war. And that's important because, you know, there are a lot of people who are going to come before us in the next few weeks asking for their vote. And it seems to me that we should not be simply giving our vote away for nothing. We ought to be demanding that Katrina gets back on the national agenda, that people continue to talk about poverty. I'm here in Washington, D.C. 35,000 people, black people, have descended on this city for the Congressional Black Caucus weekend, and we had I was on a panel yesterday. You may have seen it on C-SPAN. Ed Gordon was the moderator, and we talked about poverty. And we thought that Katrina would actually lift that issue up and bring it back to public attention, especially just as welfare reform has been reauthorized. But we were talking about welfare reform and how it has not really dealt with poverty, how it has really simply expanded the ranks of the working poor, put tremendous pressure on a lot of women with children.
But don't we, before we even talk about what it has not done, don't we have to look at the genesis of what brought about this so-called welfare reform? It was never about addressing the condition of poverty. It was a political tool to be able to beat up on people on welfare and act as if the government had done something.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this was done by Bill Clinton.
Yes, it was.
Bill Clinton came into office from Arkansas. Now, he was a student of another politician from Arkansas, and his name was Wilbur Mills. Wilbur Mills was the first legislator back in the 1960s to begin to talk about, well, we ought to make them work. He was doing that essentially as a way of getting back at the welfare reform organization, the National Welfare Rights Organization, that had been created by George Wiley at that time. And they were doing all kinds of things, storming around the Capitol, demanding a guaranteed annual minimum wage, trying to do. Wilbur Mills was a Southern politician who wouldn't have it. He happened to be chair of the very powerful committee, Ways and Means, and he was the first one. Now, here's his student, Bill Clinton, comes into Congress saying, we've got to change welfare as we know it. And what he was doing really was trying to change it himself, but the Republicans were trying to make it worse. So he took the position that the devil made me do it. And they got together, and by 1996, they passed this version. It is one of the most immoral things that has ever happened, where the richest nation in the world has told its poorest citizens, we only got 5 years for you. No other industrial country in the world has done that.
And doesn't it also, the discussion that it hasn't happened is the discussion of how this country views women and how it views women with children.
How it views black women.
That's fact.
Most of the people who we're talking about happen to be black women. And that's one of the reasons why conscience goes out the window. Because when you look at what has happened, politicians stomp around this city talking about the success of welfare. What they mean is that we've been able to shove 60% of the people we formerly supported off the rolls. That's what they mean by success.
That's exactly what they mean by we ain't paying anymore.
That's right. But when you look at those women and you try to figure out, you know, have they been made whole? You know, what's going on with the average wage of these people? What about their children? The Urban Institute, which is one of the most authoritative workshops we have, produced a report which says that something is being created called no-parent households, which means that the kids are just out there. The mothers are under pressure to go to work without resources, child care, transportation assistance, and so forth. And the kids are the ones that are suffering.
And again, it goes back to this comfort that this country, this administration, this government has with the idea of certain people, it doesn't matter what we do to them. We're comfortable with that. We're not going to worry about the fact. We're not even going to consider the fact that a woman, if you say, go get a job, a woman who has children, we're not going to, a poor woman who has children, go get a job. We don't care what happens to your children. And this nation is comfortable, appears to be comfortable with that.
Well, and that, yes, they do, because, you know, we have a mood which says, you know, everybody can get a job if they want to. And welfare reform was passed without much of a connection to the labor market, except that they wanted people to work. What they didn't say was, well, what happens if you hit a period when jobs dry up? What happens to these people? Well, we hit such a patch. We had a glorious 4 or 5 years at the end of the Clinton administration. Bush came in. We had something of a recession,
and there's nothing in the bill that is triggered by the market at all. So if economic measurements are this, then we're going to do that. There's nothing like that.
No.
And in terms of the, when you talk about how odious this welfare reform bill was, I hate even saying that, using those words. Can you give us some examples of some of the odious components of it?
Well, the five-year limit is one of the odious components. Fairly recently, and I've just finished a paper on this, and I'm not an expert, but I was asked to do it. When you look at the proposals that have just been passed and the reauthorization of welfare reform, what President White House proposed was that you extend the requirement to 40 hours of work per week. Well, all right, the average person would say, okay, that's fair. You know, I'm working 40 hours a week. Why not make them work 40 hours a week? But, you know, if most of these people would be able to have worked the 40 hours a week if they'd had the same resources you had. The fact that they're poor and in many cases unable to do it, as a matter of fact, disabled in many cases, ill-educated, they're still poor and suffering in a line of history that goes right back to slavery in many of these cities. So that if they could just change their mind and go out there, sure, a lot of them would do it. As a matter of fact, not a lot of them. The surveys show that that is exactly what was happening with welfare reform. before welfare before welfare reform. And those who want to debate that, I would ask them to go to something called the Green Book, which is a book of compilation of data on the social service system in the United States, which is given to the Congress every year. That Green Book clearly indicated that welfare, the welfare program, was being used essentially for what it was supposed to, bouts of short-term unemployment. And that there was a critical group of folks, 15 to 20%, who were long-termers. Well, you don't change an entire program
based upon 15%.
That's right.
Mm. And isn't there also embedded in this so-called welfare reform, this notion that these are people that are lazy and they are not trying to work? And that's what made that's what helped grease the skids of this legislation.
Well, you're very perceptive, because there are at least eight books that I know of, eight studies, and I could probably dig up more, which talk about race and correlate race and racism with welfare and welfare reform and the way in which black people are treated. It turns out to be a punishment system rather than a system of social services. And the weakened safety net is one of the reasons why the situation in New Orleans turned out as bad as it was.
Explain.
Well, if you had had a very strong social safety net in New Orleans, a lot of those people would have been able to at least be more mobile than they were. Here you had a situation where, first of all, a third of the people in the city were poor. 50% of those people did not have automobiles. So they were not mobile. They were, you know, people who were dependent upon public transportation and so forth. The other thing has to do with housing, the quality of housing in particular. If you had a strong social safety net, many of those people would have had access to housing that was not simply the old slavery-type shotgun housing. When you look at a lot of the damage, and I've been down there, look at a lot of the damage, you find a lot of people were washed out to sea because they lived in those same houses that they lived in 100 years ago.
Mm.
And so that if they had been able to move, you know, have the same kind of social mobility, or just not the same kind, just a modicum of social mobility, many of those people would not even have been there.
Mm. Isn't there also, and we're going to have to take a break in just a second here, but isn't there also, Dr. Walters, this also another embedded notion, understanding of poor people, and that is poor people contribute nothing. So therefore, what we do, anything that we do, is justifiable and defensible. And if we lose them, there's nothing. We've lost nothing.
You know, I came out of the hearings that we had really having to answer that question, because you're so right. The question is, you know, what do poor people contribute to society?
And we're going to have that conversation when we come back. We have to take a break right now. This is Looking Black. My guest journalist this hour is Dr. Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 at Union, there's an accident that's been cleared. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, expect heavy volume going on. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for heavy traffic in the right lane. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170, look for no problems report. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Right lane is closed this hour. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays, as well as your approaches on the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. You can help a child excel in school. Through September, donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at your local Toyota dealer service centers. Toyota service centers, now that's a smart choice. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high in the mid-80s this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy, a high in the mid-80s, and Sunday, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Looking Black is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only Black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need. I know you have a Sears card, and I know that you are going to do some shopping this weekend. Get on down to Sears. Talk to Jerome Williams. Look, the best customer service in town, the best location in town, the only full-service Sears in town. Get on over to Sears, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
Hello, this is Pastor Ariel Williams of the Oil of God Ministries, located at 4300 Gaynor, right here in St. Louis, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 6:30 to start your weekend with something old and something new. We bring you a mixture of old school gospel plus the latest sounds, as well as church calendar news and a word from God to help you be empowered and victorious in Christ. Every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
E.
Do you need a lawyer? A caring lawyer who listens to you? Well, call Earlene McAllister Thomas, 454-1811, for divorce, child support, child custody, criminal defense, accident, workers' comp, name change, or traffic case. Call Earlene Thomas. She's an excellent trial attorney and an aggressive advocate. 454-1811. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this show is Dr. Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. And Dr. Walters, we were talking about poor people. What do they contribute?
Yes, well, you know, first of all, they're human beings, and there's nothing that I've seen in the Constitution which says that, you know, everybody has rights in our society except poor people. As a matter of fact, in Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, it says you've got to provide for the common welfare, and, you know, that's a constitutional principle. A lot of people look at it in the preamble, but it is a constitutional principle. These people are also needy in terms of their development needs, and in that sense, many of them represent communities that are also needed. And to that extent, their condition is linked to the quality of life of others. So if you live in a community where there's a lot of crime and environmental waste and hazards, and you want that stuff cleaned up, you clean up the lives of poor people first, and you'll see a marked improvement in that. And then you know, there's our ethical sensibilities. These people and our attitude toward them really is a test of our humanity. That's one of the reasons why I look at the religious right and I say, well, you know, how religious are these people really? because they don't seem to have the kind of conscience which says that, you know, after the children get here, we're going to take care of them. They seem to want to punish people after they get here, particularly if they're the wrong color. So there's something about that. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke volumes about the ethical sensibilities and our need to take care of these people, to put them on an agenda before things like war. And we have not learned that lesson yet.
And we're not interested in learning that lesson. The contempt that is directed to poor people, it's not simply that opportunities are being taken from them. It's the punishment that you said as well, but also it is as if the barriers that keep people at poverty are being erected and made even stronger. When you look at the welfare reform, the so-called welfare reform, now it used to be that you could substitute work by going to school, and Bush wants to eliminate that.
Well, that's right, and that's a part of the reauthorization principles that are in there, and they're saying that used to be the case, but now let's eliminate that. And, you know, the states wanted the flexibility to retailer their social welfare laws in a way that was consistent with their own funds, with their own types of programs, and with their populations. And what we've got here really is the heavy hand of the White House really taking away the flexibility from many of these states to do precisely that. This program is administered in the state. That is the TANF law. And yet, when you look at it, they simply want to micromanage the lives of these people. I don't think they should be allowed to get away with it, because it's related, in the final analysis, to the quality of democracy. I mean, we talk about democracy as always a theory. The content of democracy means that you've got to have the resources to enjoy your rights. So what good is it to do to have the rights and not be able to enjoy them?
This is an administration that I have yet to see engage in any act that wasn't designed to benefit them in some way. Surely there must be a benefit from their perspective of continuing to do this. What is that?
Well, I think in the first instance it's an economic benefit, because if you look at the tax policies of this administration and where the money is going to major corporations through sole source contracts, the Halliburtons of the world, to wealthy individuals in terms of permanent tax cuts for the wealthy, that whole shift in terms of the use of money in the federal budget is one of the reasons. Now, they can't do that effectively if they've got a healthy budget over here that's paying for housing, that's paying for social services, that's paying for poor children, and so forth and so on. So you cut that, and you shift the resources over into this other pot. Now, that's really what's going on, and I don't see a lot of the people being held accountable for that. And a lot of the people who have approved of that are poor whites. I don't get it. It's almost as though we were back, in the 19th century.
Well, it race trumps all, doesn't it, Dr. Walters?
They would rather be white than right. And that's something that I thought that, you know, stood a chance really of being changed to the point where we could look at this problem as a class problem, black and white, and began to deal with the politics that would turn that around. You know, I was in Scandinavia this summer. I'm sitting there having coffee, and I almost threw it up. A guy told me that the tax rate was 50%. I said, what? Yeah. But then he began to delineate.
What you get for that 50%.
That's right. Free health care. Free access to education. Free this. Free that. I've come back to a society where public resources are being privatized.
Dr. Walters?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Public, you come back to a society where public resources are being privatized. And enthusiastically.
Absolutely.
And enthusiastically. Well, no, there's a combination of enthusiasm and blindness.
Well, that's right. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of blindness here because people, if the president sort of speaks my ideology, he's my guy. I don't care what they do.
Okay. It feels a little different now. It feels a little different that there is some movement in terms of that attitude and understanding of George Bush and this administration. The polls are suggesting that the numbers of congressional races that are at risk, the possibility of the Democrats getting the majority within the Congress and the longer possibility of them getting a majority in the Senate. Do you think that Americans are still adhering blindly to that?
Well, no. I argued, I wrote this book, White Nationalism, Black Interest. And it was about the emergence of the conservative movement and its control over the political system. And every now and then when I speak about it, people ask me, how is this going to change? And I suggest to them that nationalisms, especially if they're virulent, have a way of destroying themselves. The Bush administration is heading toward a cliff. You look at the favorable ratings, 36% in the latest poll that just came out 2 days ago. That is one of the lowest rates going in. Generally speaking, if you look at history, if you've had a president with a favorable rate that low, you've had a change in the Congress as many as 55 seats. Right now, what the pollsters are telling us is that we've got something like 30 or 32 seats that may be in play. All you need in the House is 15 to change political control. So we're on the edge of a potential change. American people are saying we're on the wrong track and we need to change. And it seems to me that that might happen.
Well, okay. And I guess what we need to talk about what the definition of change is. Change could be numerically the Republicans are in the minority, but will the Republican mindset still be in the majority? Will we still have these Democrats that have allowed for some of, it was Bill Clinton that brought this so-called welfare reform. So how much better off will we be?
Well, yesterday I talked about repeal, because you are absolutely right. You can have a change of regime and not have a change of policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to begin with a war. There has to be a change in this war because it is very much where we were in 1968 when Martin Luther King Jr. talked about the Vietnam War and his Riverside speech gobbling up the war on poverty. And we've let a lot of these conservatives talk about the war on poverty as though it put billions of dollars into the pockets of poor people.
Mm.
Most of that money went to corporations.
Just like what's going with the war right now.
Absolutely. Most of that money went to corporations. And then, when it was passed, because of the Vietnam War, a few years later, it started to be cut, whittled down. Nixon finished a lot of the job in terms of cutting down a lot of social policy, developing the block grant system, and then making it possible for, at that time, states to administer social policy that had a deleterious attitude toward blacks. So we've got to look at history, because history is a guide. And the war's got to be, that whole attitude and the paradigm that we're now in toward global war has to be changed because of its bankruptcy. We've got to change social policy. We've got to find these missing people. We've got a lot of people pushed off the welfare rolls we missed because all welfare did was to expand the ranks of the working poor. And a lot of these people are not even working now because if you've hit the five-year limit and you no longer care about where they are. That's really not acceptable for the richest nation in the world. So we've got to change social policy. We've got to change economic policy, these tax cuts. We have got to do something about health care.
We've just got to concede universal health care, period, dot.
Well, that's right, because the people without health care and health insurance continues to spend that.
and we're going to take a break. This is Looking Black. My guest journalist is Dr. Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back to get to some of your questions, your comments, and continue our conversation with Dr. Ron Walters. Stay with us.
Praise the Lord, Radio Land. This is Bishop John Blue inviting you to listen every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for the Jesus Only Church of God of the Apostolic Faith broadcast. We are living in a time when God is moving in His mighty ways, and I am encouraging you to listen and believe so that you might receive the blessings of God has for you every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Washington. Newly declassified documents indicate top American military leaders put together a plan in the early 60s to create terror attacks against American cities and kill their own fellow citizens. The plan, called Operation Northwoods, was going to blame Cuba for such attacks in order to ramp up support for military action against Fidel Castro. The documents are dated March of 1962 and were approved and signed by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at that time, General Lyman Lemitzer, and they were given to Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. The only reason the plan was not acted upon was because Democratic President John Kennedy refused to give his approval to it. Some of the tactics mentioned in the document are as follows. Stage an incident to appear Cuban MiG fighters destroy a U.S. Air Force plane over international waters. Stage an attack against a commercial airliner using CIA aircraft painted as Cuban aircraft. Blowing up an American ship in Guantanamo Bay and blaming Cuba for it to create a Remember the Maine scenario. Attack a boatload of Cuban refugees and have them drown in the ocean. And develop terrorist attacks in Miami, other Florida cities, and even Washington, D.C., and blame the communist Cuban regime. Again, all these tactics were created by American military planners who sought to provoke a war against Cuba back in 1962. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Sponsored by Creve Coeur Cartridge World. Save big. Print happy.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, and differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this hour is Dr. Ron Walters. He is a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And Dr. Walters, I'd like to get to some of our callers that have questions or comments. Will, do you have a question or comment for Dr. Ron Walters?
Yes, I do. I wanted to make the comment because you brought up the issue of race trumping all. And also, I think we're looking at two different things here. We're looking at a voracious capitalist system, and we're also looking at race. I think this country has never accurately and in-depth dealt with the issue of race, because if you change administrations, but you, like you said, Liz, if you don't change that Republican mindset, they've done an excellent job. And this is basically what it breaks down to. They've managed to divide this country along race, saying that Republicans are against black people while the Democrats are for black people. And as long as that core mindset is there, I think you're going to have the issue where you have these rural, poor white Republicans that that continue to swing with the Republican Party based strictly along race and capitalism. I just saw a story on NBC where they the Army refuses to buy a weapon system that could protect the soldiers. They're always talking about how they care about the troops, strictly because Israel came up with it and the government has a plan for their own weapon system.
We did that report on the show a couple of days ago. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So I'm going to let Dr. Walters have a chance to jump in and comment on your comment.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you for your comments. Dr. Walters.
Well, I think he's absolutely right about the combination of race and capitalism being a lot of the problem, because we practice in the United States the purest form of capitalism that exists. And one of the reasons I think why is that...
So what is that? How is that? What is the purest form?
Well, which we let corporations do pretty much what they want.
Mm-hmm.
The government insulates them from onerous taxation, provides them with money and seed capital to go abroad and take jobs out of this country, and doesn't really sort of support corporations in this country to employ people. I was talking to a General Motors official the other day here at the Congressional Black Caucus weekend, and he was saying that, well, you know, GM might go under because we are facing international competition where they are supported by their governments. And the governments are demanding that these corporations open up the doors and hire, you know, their own people and so forth. In this country, not only is the government not helping in international competition, the government is not demanding that these corporations stay in this country and hire American workers. So that's what I meant. That pure form of capitalism kind of lets the corporations do whatever they want. It is a corporate-oriented political economy. Race is important, though, because in terms of the access that's created, race plays a tremendous role. Now, as a matter, let me give you one example. There's a study that came out about colorism, and what it found was that the darker-skinned black job applicants face more obstacles than anybody else. The skin color, just on skin, being black.
Being dark black.
Being dark black.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you cannot, you know, look at the scientific evidence and say that even with respect to the capitalist structure, that black people don't face tremendous barriers. They do.
Well, I mean, there's a front page story on the New York Times today. New York City ad firms agree to hire more black managers. They looked at their numbers and they said, wow, things haven't changed in 40 years. In 40 years.
Well, that's right. And do you know that the number of blacks in newsrooms have decreased?
Well, when was all this fuss and muss about Katie Couric? We haven't had anybody since Randall Robinson's brother, Max.
Well, there you go.
You know, and there seems to be, there's not even a discussion about it.
Well, you know, there is, but it's so contained at the National Association of Black Journalists meetings. That's where I kind of go, and because I'm a syndicated columnist, I kind of get access to some of the information. But it's not the front page news on most of our, you know, in the stations and newspapers. I mean, it's kept in the ranks. And sure, would you, if you were a corporate owner of a newspaper, in which you had black people not being hired or substituted for other people of color, quote unquote? Now, here's a very contentious problem we got here, because you've got people from India coming in, taking these jobs. You got Hispanics, a lot of who have been here have a right to them, as far as I'm concerned. But there's this notion now that any color will do.
No, any color but black will do.
Any color but black, but any color.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And also, it's
I feel like it's being set up that there is now a new way to ignore the issue of racism in this country and the origins of racism in this country. We're going to skip over black people and entirely now and say, well, we're cool with Hispanic people or we're cool with Asian people, so racism is gone. We don't have to have that discussion that we never wanted to have.
Well, that's right. It's interesting because the Hispanic brothers and sisters really are not creating this problem.
No, they're not.
But they are being used as what I call the sort of it's a middle race phenomenon. You find it in Brazil and some of the other Latin American countries where you got the very black people on the bottom, you got the whites on the top, and then you have a middle race.
Mm-hmm.
The middle race serves a certain function, which is to blunt the attacks from the bottom.
There you go.
And make it white people, those on the top, to manipulate the whole question of race.
Look at the show The Survivor. When you look at one of the discussions that has not been had about, that I have heard about, the race, dividing the team into races, when you look at the group that is the Hispanic group, they look like white Hispanics. They don't look like Hispanics. They look like me.
And there are plenty who look like you, but they can't. Most of them can't get here. And so that a lot of the people who get here, in terms of the census, identify themselves as white.
Well, that they absolutely do on the census.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when they released the last census, I got a call from the Census Bureau. Come down as one of the academics to talk about the meaning of the census. And one of the census takers' directors said to me, he says, well, we've got an anomaly here, which is that about 60% of the Hispanics in the census data identify themselves as white. I said, yeah, but you got to realize that is a Latin American definition of whiteness. That a lot of those people really are not Anglo-white. They have that, which means that they are middle class. That's kind of the way it translates. But in this society, it translates into a coloration phenomenon. And it's really very interesting because most of those people... We don't have a category in our language for people who are North American Indian but speak Spanish. We don't have that category in our culture.
No, we do not.
But that's essentially what they are. They are some variety of North American Indian or American Indian who speak Spanish.
Let me get to another caller or two here. Tim, do you have a question for Dr. Walters?
Yeah. Listen, what are we going to do about our representatives that come to the black community to get our vote, and then when they get in office, companies come and tell them, you know, well, the brewery or whoever approves of the way you're running your office, and as such, you know, here's $3,500, $4,000 to run your office. Now, what happened when the legislation came before Congress, the Senate, for all of these new convenience stores that went to Indians and supposedly Arabs from foreign countries? Where were they? Who did they vote with? And I'm certain it wasn't us. Can
All
you
right.
elaborate on that?
Thanks for your question. Unfortunately, Dr. Walters, I hear my music coming up. That's going to have to be the last word. I'd love to thank you for joining me this morning on the show.
Good to be with you.
And have a great weekend.
All right.
Dr. Ron Walters, Professor of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland. This is Liz Brown, and this is Looking Black coming to an end, but that's okay. We're going to have a discussion when we come back with Reverend David Beckman, and we're going to be talking about one of the things we were talking about with Dr. Walters. It's a continuation of our conversation, Bread for the World. We're going to talk about hunger. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvinger. The countdown has resumed at the Kennedy Space Center for NASA's next attempt to launch the shuttle Atlantis. The space agency stopped the clock for a moment. It was over a fuel sensor issue, but says it's no problem. ABC's Vic Ratner introduces us to the crew.
Up early and ready to go. This crew includes a commander with three previous space flights under his belt and two teams of spacewalkers, including one of the space agency's few women spacewalkers, Heidi Piper, a former Navy diver. And Dan Burbank, a Coast Guard veteran who plays guitar in the astronauts' rock band.
Atlantis is scheduled to lift off at 11:40 a.m. Eastern Time. The Taliban says it was behind today's deadly car bombing in Afghanistan. At least 16 people killed in the blast near the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. Two of the victims were U.S. soldiers.
A car packed with explosives slammed right into the middle of a U.S. military convoy, shredding an armored American Humvee, killing two of the soldiers inside, wounding two others. Eight Afghans were killed, 15 wounded. This attack happened on a very busy street in this city, just yards from the entrance of the U.S. Embassy.
ABC's Terry Moran in Kabul. The footage may be years old, but the message Al-Qaeda may be trying to send is clear. The terror network is still a threat.
These are chilling tapes to show in advance, this is 6 or 7 years ago, they had planned, they made video of these people, and they keep releasing a little by little by little out of their tape library.
ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross. ABC Entertainment is reworking some scenes from its upcoming miniseries, The Path to 9/11. Some Democrats say it unfairly puts the blame on former President Clinton. Former New Jersey Governor Tom Kane, chairman of the 9/11 Commission, was a consultant on the film.
To understand how these people wanted to do us harm, developed this plot, and how the machinations of the American government under two administrations not only failed to stop them, but even failed to slow them down.
The miniseries will be shown Sunday and Monday nights. This is ABC News.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. Do your wiper blades streak and smear? Then get to AutoZone today and do something about it. Right now at AutoZone, you'll save $5 when you purchase a pair of AMCO Quick Connect or Winter Wiper Blades. Or save a big $10 on AMCO AeroVantage Blades. So get to AutoZone and get a new set of AMCO Wiper Blades today. The product's not available at all locations, and the offer's void in Connecticut, Michigan, and Rhode Island. So see store for details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
Tropical storm Florence is just a few days away from Bermuda. Forecasters say the storm could be a hurricane and over the island by Monday or Tuesday, could kick up high surf or rip currents along the east coast. There were a lot of people looking for him. Now it turns out a Marine who disappeared in Colorado staged the whole thing.
Rescue teams in Boulder County, Colorado spent 5 days searching for 21-year-old Lance Hearing. His best friend said Hearing had disappeared after hurting himself while hiking. But Captain Phil West at the Sheriff's Department says it was all a lie.
What he is reporting is that Lance did not want to return to complete his tour of duty in the Marines.
That includes going back to Iraq. Now Hearing's best friend has been arrested for filing a false report. Hearing is still missing, and now the Marines are searching for him. Alex Stone, ABC News.
There are a lot of Aussies wearing khaki today. It's in memory of Steve Irwin, the man known as the Crocodile Hunter, was rarely seen in anything but his trademark khaki-colored shirts and shorts. His family is planning a private funeral. He was killed earlier this weekend in filming an underwater documentary. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a Farmington soldier killed in action in Iraq will be laid to rest this weekend. Sergeant Michael Deason died on August 31st when a grenade struck his convoy. Visitation is Saturday evening from 5 to 9 and Sunday morning from 7 to 11 at Taylor Funeral Service Chapel in Farmington. A funeral will be held Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Farmington First Assembly of God Church. Deason will be buried at Big River Cemetery in Irondale. Authorities suspect drunk driving in a crash that killed a Hillsboro woman. 23-year-old Crystal Mobley died early Thursday morning when she collided head-on with a driver who crossed the center line on Highway 21. No charges have been filed yet. The other driver remains hospitalized with serious injuries. Illinois public health officials are reporting the state's third death this year from the West Nile virus. A Cook County woman in her 90s has died from the mosquito-transmitted illness. Earlier this year, a Will County man and a Bond County man died from West Nile complications. There have been 94 human cases of the virus this year in Illinois. The home of the St. Louis Blues has a new name. The building, once known as the Kiel Center and then the Savas Center, will now be called the Scott Trade Center. Scott Trade President and CEO Roger Riney, a Kirkwood native, says he can only disclose so much about the financial aspect of the naming rights deal.
Under the terms of the agreement, however, we're keeping that confidential. So all I can say is that it's a very fair, equitable, and jointly enthusiastically received agreement that is long-term.
Negotiations between the Blues and Scott Trade have been ongoing since July, when Dave Check at Sports Capital Partners Group became the team's owners. Improvements to the building, including a new scoreboard system, are underway. Finally this hour, the 13th annual St. Louis Art Fair gets underway this evening in Clayton. 10 city blocks are closed to traffic for the three-day festival of art, music, food, and dance. Cindy Prost, the executive director of Fair Organizer Cultural Festivals, says the new MetroLink extension will take fairgoers right to the heart of the festivities. The event showcases museum-quality works by 165 professional artists and also features gourmet food, musical performances, art demonstrations, and a children's area. It starts at 5 o'clock today and runs through Sunday. Admission is free. For more information, call 314-863-0278. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Shell. Shell is giving away free gas for life to 6 lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The million-gallon giveaway, only at Shell, made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil Arthritis. Eastbound 40 at 270, that incident's been cleared. There may be some delays. Westbound 70 onto the ramp to northbound Riverview. Look for an accident partially blocking the exit ramp there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, expect heavy traffic in the right lane. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Right lane is closed. Westbound 55, 70 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 40, or westbound Kingbridge traffic, look for some delays there as well. And eastbound 40 from Ballast to McKnight, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway to 270, look for slow traffic as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil Arthritis. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, whenever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy, a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, a high in the mid-80s as well. Currently, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather, or your traffic and weather, I should say, in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Ooh, I'm looking everywhere I look, and I've been talking about this everywhere that I look. There are signs that things are not good for folks. We are living in troubling times. You look at the money pages of the different newspapers. Some of the newspapers I have in front of me. USA Today, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Things are not good for people. Housing market forecast worsens. Retailers like Costco, TJ Maxx, Walmart moving the pushing of Christmas items, starting that in July and August. Gasoline prices making people have to make life changes because they're so high while corporate profits are higher. We need to... I just think that in this country we just don't have honest discussions about poverty. We don't have honest discussions about our contempt for poor people. We don't have honest discussions about our responsibilities as human beings, our morality and ethics with regard to how we treat poor people. We don't have those discussions, and we need to, because there's a cost if we don't, and we're going to have a discussion this morning. We're going to have an honest discussion this morning about this. I have joining me from Washington, D.C., the president of Bread for the World, Reverend David Beckman. Reverend, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you here. We don't talk about poverty the way that we should, do we?
Not at all. Certainly not in our political leaders don't.
Are we honest about poverty? Are we brave enough to be honest about it? Talking about our elected officials, are they brave enough to be honest about it?
No, I think both parties pretty much avoid talking about poverty explicitly. Democrats tend to talk more about what's good for the working people, and sort of it's an oblique way, but...
And middle class.
Middle class. They're pitching that story. I mean, it's partly that poor people don't vote, mostly, so... The Democrats really don't speak to the issue very directly or very forcefully, and government's main priorities are other things. It's war on terrorism, homeland security, tax cuts, mostly for wealthy people. So I think it's true that public discussion just bypasses poverty. I was just reading through the New York Times this morning. I was really struck in the A section, the first section of the New York Times. There was not one story about poverty or related issues in America.
How many terrorism stories were on the front page?
Well, you're right, exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Reverend David Beckman, president of Bread for the World. He will be joining us in our conversation about poverty. When we come back, I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, indeed, are you going to find a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a stove? You're going to find it at Sears. And how are you going to get there? You're going to go to Union and Natural Bridge. You're going to experience the trifecta shopping experience. Great prices, great location, and a great customer service. Jerome Williams will treat you well. Take your Sears card, because I know you have one. Get on down to Sears, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to. From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs. OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Peace of mind, indeed. This is Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. My guest this hour is the president of Bread for the World, Reverend David Beckman. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. Reverend Beckman, what do people need to know about the state of poverty in the United States as we speak?
Well, I think people do know in general that we've got too much poverty in this country. It's 37 million people. The data just came out for the current year. The poverty rate is higher than it was in the late 90s. It is not going down despite the growth in the economy. I think we also need to know that this is a fixable problem. We certainly do not need to have millions of kids in our country, in the United States of America, unable to eat sometimes. And that's the reality. About a fourth of all the kids under 6 years old in our country live in households that run out of food sometimes.
Don't we also...
I think the other thing we need to know is that we can take action as citizens, that Bread for the World is one way you can connect to Congress and to elected officials in an effective way and push so that, in fact, they become more responsive, because we need to have our government provide leadership. It can't solve all the problems, but we need... citizens need to make our elected officials address this problem of poverty in our country.
There was a story in the New York Times yesterday that was just, it's just, I guess, a problem that is unique in the time that we live right now. But they talked about obese children that are hungry. They talked about how poor people buy the cheapest food that they can. And the cheapest food that you can find is the food that makes you fat.
Right. It is ironic. And especially the clearest group is low income and especially African American women. And I think some of that, we don't know exactly why that is. A lot of these people are food insecure. The household runs out of food maybe every month or two. And part of it is that the mom is the caretaker. So the mom makes sure the kids get food if there's food in the house. And then if they run out of the door and there's something left on their plates, she'll eat it. But moms are going without food for the last 3-4 days of the month. And then when the food stamps come or they get the check at the beginning of the month, those same women are vulnerable to binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
And that pattern of alternating between not having enough, then eating too much, eating cheap food, is making a lot of people who are sometimes hungry obese. It's a terrible thing. And, of course, you know, both things. Not having enough food is bad for your health. It's bad for anybody's health. It stunts the brains of little children. They can't pay attention. They don't do well in school. And obesity has all of its own health problems. So poor people are getting hit twice.
And these numbers, the numbers that you're talking about coming out of the Census Bureau report for 2005, what do these numbers mean for the upcoming midterm elections?
Well, they ought to mean that this should be a wake-up call. I mean, we hoped that Hurricane Katrina would be a wake-up call. It really hasn't been.
Well, people hit the snooze button.
What?
People hit the snooze button.
Something happened, and this again should be the fact that, in fact, it does seem to be getting through that despite now a sustained economic recovery, despite economic growth, the wages, average wages, are not going up, and poverty is high, and it's not going down. The good news is that recent polling shows that American voters in general get it. 85% of voters say that hunger and poverty in this country will be important to them when they vote for Congress in the fall. If they do that, if your listeners are active as voters, you know, I think we need to pick candidates, put money and time into campaigns, and then get out the vote in November and bring people to Congress who are concerned about hunger and poverty.
And then the other part of that, Reverend, also is that once we get them to Congress, we have to watch over them, and we have to make certain that they continue to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely right. And Bread, I want to pitch Bread for the World, my organization, because it's one way to stay active. Your listeners can go to bread.org, our website, and we organize people and churches all across the country to pay attention to what Congress is doing on issues that are important to hungry and poor people in our country and around the world, and we help people make a difference. Last year, you and your listeners made a big difference on the issue of food stamp funding. It turned out it was just a couple days before Senator Talent met with the rest of the Agriculture Committee to decide on their recommendation for food stamp funding.
Cutting it.
And the President had proposed to cut food stamps by more than $500 million. It would have pushed 250,000 people off food stamps. And 300 or so of your, Senator Talent's office called us. Several hundred of your listeners called right after the show. In fact, he voted the right way that day, and in the end, Congress decided on zero cuts to food stamps.
And I love that.
Your folks played a big role in that. It's a demonstration that citizens who pay attention and get engaged really can change history and can do a lot for poor people.
And Reverend, I think that is such an important. I'm excited that story had something to do with my show, but I think it's such an exciting story because sometimes people feel so disempowered that I'm way over here living in St. Louis, Missouri, and Congress is all the way over there in Washington, D.C. What can I do? Picking up the phone changed the world.
It did indeed. It really did. I mean, it really was quite remarkable.
And even Talent's office was just stunned by the number of people that called.
Right. They were a little cross with us, but you voted the right way. And it helped to change the tide. Rather than before that meeting, they had been talking about whether to cut food stamps by $500 million or $1 billion. And in fact, in that meeting, Talent and Santorum from Pennsylvania, another conservative Republican, said, look, you know, we don't want to touch food stamps, and that helped to change the tide, and in the end, we got zero cuts to food stamps. Made a huge difference for maybe 300,000 people, mostly welfare-to-work families.
Isn't that something? I just get chills thinking about that. And
you've got a good listening audience.
Yes, I do. Yes,
They're on the edge. They're ready to take action. And I think, so the two things I'd urge them to do now is, one, get involved in the elections coming up, pick a candidate, put some energy, some money, and a vote into getting the right candidate elected. And the other thing would be to go to bread.org and join Bread for the World, because you get an ongoing stream of very specific information about issues that are important to poor people in this country, also poor people in Africa and around the world. And very specific ways that you can weigh in and make a difference.
And that is the piece. We can change some of the awful direction that this nation is going in with respect to poor people.
One of the things from the new census data shows that St. Louis has the fifth highest poverty rate of any county in the country. So this is not far away from your folks.
Amazing. Talk to us about the Hunger Free Community Act. What is that?
Bread for the World has been pushing this as a way to try to get this Congress to commit themselves to reducing hunger in America, and then to provide some funding for community groups so that community groups work together in a strategic way to push from below to end hunger. And Bread for the World works mainly through churches together with food banks. We've built up very strong bipartisan support for this bill. I think we've got a 50-50 chance to pass it this month. so it would be, just a way of, instead of just defending, again this year we had to defend against cuts in food stamps and senior nutrition and other food programs. We're trying to move the debate the other way to get this Congress to commit themselves to reducing hunger.
So tell us what this bill would do, because then, so we can inspire people to know that they need to call their people. And also, since we have that hotly contested race here in the state of Missouri between Jim Talent and Claire McCaskill, this is a perfect time, because sometimes it's strategy as well of when you can push on people, because maybe Talent wouldn't have been moved if he wasn't up for re-election. So it's strategy as well. Tell people, help people understand what this Hunger Free Community Act will do so that they can be inspired to make the phone calls that need to be made and push on these candidates that want to be elected.
Well, I think people, if they're going to write about hunger-free communities, they ought to go to bread.org and take a minute to look at it. And then from there, they can write to Senator Talent or to your members of the House. And what it basically does is commits this Congress to reducing hunger, cutting hunger and food insecurity in half by 2010. That is eminently feasible. It is not that hard in our country to dramatically reduce hunger. We know how to make sandwiches. This is not, it's not like an intractable problem that kids don't have enough to eat. If we would just provide enough food, if food stamp families could just afford a nutritious diet, if the food stamp benefit were enough so that they could afford a nutritious diet, I think that might be enough to cut hunger in half. So the Hunger Free Communities Act would get Congress to go on record that they want to reduce hunger. The administration would have to report periodically on what they're doing, what they're planning to reduce hunger, and then this bill would strengthen, provide some grants to community groups to push from below. And The important thing, an important thing about it, is that it really, because churches all across the country, all different kinds of churches and food banks have worked on this, we have broad bipartisan support. It's not just a Democrat or Republican thing. And if we're going to change the nation, we've got to get both parties to be concerned about hunger and poverty. So if people want to get involved in helping us get over the top to pass this bill, they should go to bread.org and check it out and get engaged in Bread for the World so that on this issue and other issues coming up that they do what you say, that they watch Congress once those guys get elected, watch them and keep reminding them that there are people back home who care about poverty.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Reverend David Beckman, president of Bread for the World. We're talking about poverty. And when we come back, Reverend, I'd like to talk about how food stamps help people in poverty, how important they are. We'll be back.
Hi, this is James Wade. I'm in
Connect Care, still connected to...
Good morning, St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 40 at McKnight, there's a disabled vehicle partially blocking the lane. Eastbound 44 at southbound ramp to 270, there's an accident partially blocking there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for congestion in the right lane. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got no delays. Westbound 64 at 5570, there's no delays there as well. Eastbound 40 at Boone Bridge. Look for everything to be running smoothly. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is made just the way you like it. Taste for yourself. Get a free small coffee during Free Coffee Mondays at McDonald's. I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny skies, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the lower 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field has 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is James Wakeman. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train. Every Saturday night, right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
The Glory Bound train broadcast with James Wafer is heard every Saturday night at 7:30 right here on WGNU. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
the bottom of the whole affair. We got lots of rebels in golden hair. And it's scrambling through the miry face. We've been strong on the rise of day. Oh, never fail. Bend it on up. From a firm, firm base. Bend it on up.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Reverend David Beckman. He is the president of Bread for the World, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. And we're having a discussion about poverty this morning. And, Reverend, a lot of folks understand that, that food stamps exist, but I think that they don't understand really how they work and how important they are.
Food stamps and the other federal food programs are tremendously important for poor and hungry people. Almost a lot of people of goodwill, are involved in food banking and working through their church to get groceries to hungry people. That's really important. But the federal nutrition programs provide about 20 times as much groceries as all of our private charities. They are much, you know, as... So it's important that we complement what we do through private charity, through our church, also that we be active citizens and defend and strengthen the federal nutrition programs. The food stamp program in particular has been improved under both the Clinton and the Bush administration. I think they've tightened it up so that there's less abuse, less problem with the program, and it is the front line of defense against hunger in America. So over the last couple of years, Bread for the World members and churches have been active in protecting food stamps and the other nutrition programs. Liz Brown's show and your listeners last year helped us get zero cuts to food stamps. This year, the administration came back, and in fact, they proposed $1.2 billion in cuts from the nutrition programs this year. That amounts to about half of all the groceries that go through all the food banks and charities in the country. Mm. You know, it didn't even make page 5 of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you know, but this is a very serious threat to a lot of poor people. And I'm pleased to report that Bread for the World members, church people, food bankers across the country weighed in and said, absolutely not. And again this year, Congress is deciding on zero cuts to the food programs. We think it's an important. Other programs are under attack, and not all as well. Medicaid was cut last year, but on the food programs, important to poor people, we've been able to at least hold the line. And what we're trying to do with the Hunger Free Communities Act is move the other way and strengthen those programs and other initiatives so that we reduce hunger in America.
So the question that should be posed to Jim Talent and the question that should be posed to Claire McCaskill as well is, do you support the Hunger Free Community Act?
Right, absolutely.
And when we talk about what a person who's on food stamps, describe the average food stamp user.
Well, 70% of these households are households with children. So the food stamp program is really important as a defense against childhood hunger. These are families, in order to get food stamps, you have to have limited assets, limited income. It's the only major program that provides assistance to poor people in every state. So whether you live in Mississippi or Minnesota, the food stamp program is the same for everybody, and it's an entitlement. So when unemployment is high, when wages go down, there's a degree of, it's almost automatic that the food stamp benefits go up. It really is a remarkably good program, especially now that they've gotten rid of the old coupons that were embarrassing and clumsy and vulnerable to misuse, and now they have the electronic benefit transfer card. So it's like a debit card that allows somebody who qualifies for food stamps to go into the store just with a debit card and get the food that they need for their family. It's really an excellent program and a very large program. It's the biggest anti-hunger program that we have in our country.
And we talk about these numbers, these new numbers that have come out from the Census Bureau, and the numbers are still high. Reverend, why are these numbers still high? Why?
Well, I think, you know, some of it's, there's complicated reasons, but the main thing is it's not important. It isn't, we haven't made it a priority to get the numbers of people in poverty down. So there are there are complicated economic reasons why. I mean, more of our growth is going to people who own stock than is going to wage earners. So there are those kind of complicated things going on. But the main thing is that Congress and the President have other priorities. So throughout this decade, state governments have been cutting back on programs for poor people. Last year, Congress made deep cuts in the Medicaid program. We're under constant pressure to cut programs for poor people. Nobody's even talking about investing more in health and education and nutrition for poor people. So we shouldn't be surprised that we're not making progress. We've got other, you know, it's the war against terrorism, the war in Iraq, the homeland security, tax cuts mainly for wealthy people. Then the parties both jockeying for who's going to win in this November and addressing all kinds of other issues. But, you know, in our public debate, there's very little attention to reducing poverty. So it's not a big surprise, then, that we're not making progress. We ought to. You know, other countries, China, Chile, Taiwan, Korea,
Cuba.
Indonesia, Cuba, have managed to reduce poverty. This is not rocket science. If we pay attention, there are ways. I mean, I think there are some difficulties here that are, you know, the poor will be with us. There'll always be people who are struggling. But we do not have to put up with 14 million kids in the USA that go without food sometimes. This is just eminently fixable.
And I guess it was made clear, from my view, with Katrina,
right?
That there seems to be such an unwillingness on the part of, and I'm talking about Congress right now, because I looked at such an unwillingness to address this issue. When you listen to the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC, there is no mention of poor people. The only people that they talk about, in fact, they're very clear, we're here for middle-class people. And when Katrina, you look at the numbers of elected officials, Democrats and Republicans, that have been to the Gulf Coast, have been to New Orleans, set foot on the sands of the Gulf Coast, they aren't there. We've got to push these people. We have got, it's going to be us that makes this change.
Absolutely. And I guess I don't blame the politicians as much as I think with the, you know, the fingers point back at us. We're the citizens. We're the voters. So, you know, low-income people who do not get out and vote are not helping themselves. We need to get out and vote. We need to pick candidates that we know are going to be concerned about social problems and give them some time, give them some money, get them elected. And then join organizations like Bread for the World. You can just go to bread.org. That's one way to do it. There are other organizations that do similar work, but join organizations that push our country, that push the politicians to pay attention to poverty, to do the thing. There are some very obvious things that could be done to reduce poverty. They're not doing them. I don't think it's so much that the politicians are bad people. It's that we as citizens, and I think we as, I'm a preacher, you know, so I feel especially responsible that the churches tend to, you know, I think churches tell people you ought to help the poor. But not very many churches are helping their members be active citizens to push the nation to do what the nation can do to reduce poverty.
Because this is all of our money. We are all citizens here together. We all have a responsibility in a democracy for the commonwealth,
right,
of all of our citizens.
And if you just let me do the preacher thing, you know, the Bible's clear. It's clear that we ought to be, as individuals, ought to be generous toward people in need. But it's also clear that God cares about what we do as nations, what our laws are like. So Bread for the World goes into churches and helps churches teach their people that justice for the poor is part of authentic religion, and then gives people who may feel helpless to change that handles so that they can become active citizens in fact, do things that will reduce poverty. What you and your listeners did last year played a big role in keeping Congress from taking $500 million away from poor people. Not a small accomplishment for a morning.
No, it was not one. Not at all.
I really appreciate your show, and I really love your listeners.
Thank you so much. We're going to take another break here. We're talking to Reverend David Beckman, president of Bread for the World. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I would like to encourage you to use persuasion instead of convincing when you are communicating with others and you are wanting to influence them. You see, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When you use persuasion, people actually adopt your way of thinking. But when you convince people, guess what? All you get is compliance. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. Karl Rove developed a strategy to funnel Republican money to Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman's re-election efforts in a bid to keep him in office. Rove and Republican National Chairman Ken Mellman told supporters that by donating to Lieberman, they would be supporting a Republican-leaning candidate who would support the president's policies. Lieberman lost the Democratic primary and now plans to run as an independent in the November election. Republican pollsters are saying the party could lose as many as 40 House seats, as well as its majority in the Senate. Rove thought that by supporting Lieberman, the GOP would wind up with a 50-50 split in the Senate, and then could have Vice President Dick Cheney cast deciding votes on key pieces of legislation. And Dateline Greensboro. The Ku Klux Klan has adopted a new technique to get its message of white supremacy out to the masses. The new strategy involves taking old newspapers and sticking one of its flyers inside and then redistributing them in neighborhoods. The Rhino Times in Greensboro, North Carolina, has filed a lawsuit over this practice, saying it misleads readers into thinking they have accepted advertising from the Klan. A paper spokesperson says this has been taking place off and on for the last 6 months. The head of the KKK, Thomas Robb, says there is nothing wrong with the practice because papers cannot claim perpetual ownership of a newspaper once it has been sold or given away. Robb says it has proven to be an effective way to get their information out. This is your wake-up call global news update.
We, the believers at El Mukminun Islamic Center, would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on El Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. That's Focus on El Islam, every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Reverend Beckman had to leave us, but I do want to thank him for that, and I want to take a moment to congratulate all of you all, the fact of the matter is that we did a remarkable thing. what you all picking up the phone and responding. I want you to know that Senator Talent's office, Tim Talent's office, was not too pleased about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you all that picked up your phone on one morning. You changed the world in one morning. You picked up the phone and you helped hundreds of thousands of people in this country. Millions of people, because when you look at the impact, you changed a child's life forever. Your phone calls from no place, and it came from no place but this show on that day. Talent's office talked about what are all these people from Liz Brown's show doing calling my office like this? 300 and more callers called in from one little conversation we had on. It changed the world. You all did that. It makes a difference. You can change the world. And I just want you to keep that story, pass that story on. And keep it in your heart and know that you did that. Jim Talent was going to vote to cut food stamps and you all stopped him. We got an election coming up. We got an election coming up. Because think about it. While what you did was it changed the world. It is something to be proud of. It is something to remind yourself of what impact you can have or what you do have out in this world. But it also is a reminder to understand what you were calling to do. You were calling to say, please, please do not cut food. Do not snatch food out of babies' mouths. Talent's office was mad about it. He was made to do the right thing. Do you need a person in office that you got to push him to do something like putting food in babies' mouths? Is that the kind of person that you have to spend your time staying on him to do things that are obvious? You don't cut food stamps. You know, how were you raised? That you would take food out of the mouth of babies and we had to make you do right. And when I say we, that was us. We did that. We had to make him not snatch a piece of bread out of a baby's mouth. We did that. You heard it here. You heard it here. We did that. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Car phone. Daryl, car phone. Hello? Hello? You're on the wake-up call.
About child support, and I was wondering, would you happen to have a number or a name I can look up in the phone book?
You're calling to ask about an attorney?
Right.
Okay, call me off the air.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget that Urban Institute meets today. It meets today. It meets today. I'm sorry, it meets tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'm already into Saturday. I've already moved on to Saturday. Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Saturday morning at 9 o'clock at the Urban Institute. And don't forget, it's the Firefighters Institute for Racial Equality. That's their office there. At the address is 1020 North Taylor. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Be there. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Brother Mac. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And let me tell you. Very brief 2 points. One of the things that needs to be done, and I hope that the International Urban Institute will take up this particular cause, and that's we need to hold these local charitable organizations accountable also. I happen to work for one for a few years here in St. Louis, and it's a numbers game. And a lot of them, they don't want us to come out of poverty simply because that's a tax break for certain, you know, rich people, as well as it keeps certain people that run these organizations in big money. When, you know, we should be trying to get these people, you know, up, we're trying to keep them down or at a particular manageable level. So that's one issue that, you know, I think that we need to consider also. Not only do we hold the politicians accountable for what they do, but, you know, hold the local organizations accountable to do what they say that they are going to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Daryl.
Yes, Liz. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
You know, my heart just goes out every time I hear about somebody not eating properly. And I just want to make an appeal to everyone who can. Go to a food pantry this weekend. Take some food. Take some Pampers. I went to Otis last Saturday, and the lady was needed Pampers. And I was taking some food, but then when she said, see if some Pampers is in there, take some toiletries. Take whatever you can to these people, because people are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Food stamps are good, but it's not enough, trust me.
Well, it's not everything. It's not everything. Do what you can. I mean,
that's right.
You, like what we did. We changed the world on this show.
That's right.
Okay? We made certain that food stamps were not going to be cut by, because it was only two votes. They only need, that was the committee that was voting to cut the stamps that morning, and people, Jim Talent had voted to cut the food stamps before then. He voted to cut the food stamps before then, and he changed his vote that day because of our phone calls to him and his office. His office was complaining because they couldn't take the load of phone calls that were coming into his office from this show that day.
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
And
powerful.
Do some other things. So that's. I just want to make an appeal. I'm gonna be out this Saturday taking some food somewhere, so somebody can eat. The blessed of us help the blessed of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I wanted to leave my name and phone number with you to give out to anyone that you talked about the food donations. I have access to getting food, and normally we take it and give it to the Harbor Lighthouse, some of the senior citizen buildings where, you know, you got seniors trying to pay for medication and can't eat.
Well, here's
so
what. I'm way ahead of you. I want.
Okay.
Are you in contact with Otis? I'm gonna.
Yes.
Are you?
I'm sorry?
Are you in contact with Otis? I'm going to put you in contact with Otis.
Yes, I know Otis.
Oh, you
I'm
know.
I'm taking food there, too.
Okay. Here's what I will do. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And I'll have Howard get your name and number.
Okay,
thank you
all
so
right,
much.
You're welcome.
All right, listen, folks, I see you all on the line. We're going to, I'm going to get to a couple of you, but we're going to have open lines in the next hour as well, so we'll be able to continue our conversation. And Mary?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I know most people are familiar with Reverend Rice. I donate a lot to him and money as well as food, mostly money. But he says that he has so many people coming in there for food, and he doesn't have enough to give them anymore because it's so overwhelming how many people are homeless now, and he also let them sleep there, and they can also make a donation to Reverend Rice. You familiar? I know they're familiar with that as well. I had a guy that I was also giving clothing to, and I was wondering, Liz, did you know off the air someone that still wanted clothing as well?
You know what? I talked to Donna Jones, one of our school board members, and she was talking to me about a dormitory that burned down at one of the colleges here, a black dorm that had there was a fire in it, and there were a lot of students there that lost a lot of things, that they needed clothes and they needed some toiletries. So I know that is happening. I hope to get in touch with Donna to be able to get that information out maybe on Monday morning.
Well, will you please let me have the number of the places and I could
Absolutely.
Take my things to them?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. This is Liz Brown. We have another break, but that's okay. Please stay on the lines because we'll be back. I'll be back to talk to you in the next hour. So hold on.
Our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Sorry, the progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Talk to me, sister.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Alden.
There's
about an hour and 40 minutes to lift off of the shuttle Atlantis. ABC's Vic Ratner has more from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
With 6 new windows and a new set of bigger landing gear tires, engineers say Atlantis is good to go without replacing that erratic fuel cell pump motor.
I feel very confident that we're not racing, that in fact we have taken a very slow, methodical, thorough, and safety-oriented approach in this whole matter.
NASA's Wayne Hale insists he is not taking any chances on safety. The shuttle has 3 fuel cells that produce electricity on board. All 3 have to be working under mission rules for the launch to proceed. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The Taliban says it was behind today's deadly suicide bombing in Afghanistan. At least 16 people were killed, including 2 U.S. soldiers in the blast. It was near the American Embassy in Kabul. President Bush wants a little of your time this Monday night. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush will address the nation in prime time on the evening of September 11th, 5 years after the terrorist attacks. The White House says the Oval Office address will commemorate the day, which for Mr. Bush will begin with a moment of silence with New York firefighters. He will lay wreaths at the sites of each of the attacks. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Al-Qaeda is marking the anniversary with a new tape broadcast yesterday on the Arabic TV network Al Jazeera.
The Al Jazeera network broadcast only a few minutes of what it said was an hour and a half of tape. It purports to show the hijackers learning how to conceal knives, going through kickboxing drills, and practicing how to escape possible capture by armed police.
ABC News chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross. Israel's lifted its naval blockade of Lebanon, European warships patrolling to keep weapons shipments from Hezbollah guerrillas. The Dow is up 29 points, and the NASDAQ is ahead by 4. This is ABC News.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. Do your wiper blades streak and smear? Then get to AutoZone today and do something about it. Right now at AutoZone, you'll save $5 when you purchase a pair of ANCO Quick Connect or Winter Wiper Blades, or save a big $10 on ANCO AeroVantage Blades. So get to AutoZone and get a new set of ANCO Wiper Blades today. The product's not available at all locations, and the offer's void in Connecticut, Michigan, and Rhode Island, so see store for details. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
ABC News is marking the 5th anniversary of the September 11th attacks with a series called Remembering 9/11. Today, Aaron Katursky takes a look at the man who is believed to have plotted the whole thing and who is nowhere to be found.
President Bush started what he called the War on Terror, intending to capture or kill Osama bin Laden.
A wanted poster. It said wanted dead or alive.
The president has said the campaign is bigger than any one man. 5 years later, bin Laden remains at large.
We should keep in mind it's not necessarily a man today. It's a question about a movement, Al-Qaeda.
Former Defense Secretary William Cohen says it's not that the U.S. doesn't want bin Laden.
I don't think that if we captured him tomorrow or killed him tomorrow, that would lead to resolving our current difficulty.
Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
It was a major tourist destination in Chicago. You got something from Marshall Fields. You better go today. The landmark store, including the downtown flagship, becomes a Macy's tomorrow, along with other chains nationwide like Foley's, Filene's, Kaufman's, and Robinson May. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the family of a Southeast Missouri soldier is mourning his death in combat. 18-year-old Private Jeremy Schenck died Wednesday of injuries he suffered from small arms fire in Hawija, Iraq. Schenck called Jackson, Missouri home and had been stationed at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. Long-term lane closures start this morning on a stretch of I-170 in Olivet. The right lane of northbound 170 at Olive will be closed at 9 o'clock this morning, so crews can start building a new bridge over Olive and improving the interchange. Later this month, restrictions will also be in place on southbound 170. The restrictions will be in place through fall 2008. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services hopes to get a grant to conduct a study on the number of cases of Lou Gehrig's disease in Herculaneum. This after a previous study determined that the town doesn't have a higher prevalence of multiple sclerosis or ALS compared to the national average. But spokesperson Brian Quinn says the three cases of ALS require more investigation.
Because ALS is such a rare disease, you wouldn't expect to see many cases at all in a population of, say, 100,000, but you would also not expect to see them grouped together in time or space.
Quinn says there's no reason to believe that there's a connection with the lead smelter at Doe Run. The findings were released last night to residents at a public meeting. Finally this hour, Metro officials report a sharp increase in ridership on Metrolink thanks to the new cross-county extension. The light rail system saw more than 68,000 boardings on August 28th, the first day fares were collected on the new line to Shrewsbury. That's compared to about 45,000 boardings on August 21st and an average weekday ridership of 44,000 in August of 2005. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. You can help a child excel in school. Through September, donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at your local Toyota Dealers Service Center. Toyota Service Centers, now that's a smart choice. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Shell. Eastbound 44 on the ramp to southbound 270. Look for an accident partially blocking lanes there. Westbound 40 at Hampton, there's an injury accident blocking two left lanes. Northbound 270 at McKelvey and 70, look for paving operations. In fact, there are a number of paving operations and other construction areas that are going on throughout the St. Louis Metropolitan and St. Louis County, as well as St. Charles County and the Metro East. So just use caution and slow down through those work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Shell. Shell is giving away free gas for life to six lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The million-gallon giveaway only at Shell. Made to move. See official rules for participating Shell stations. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. For this evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Moving on to Saturday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, high in the mid-80s as well. Currently, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Great. I was just calling to say, in keeping with our conversation about charities, charity is the old thing, begins at home. And I'm sure if someone has something to give away and that just put a sign out and say free, you'll make a friend in the neighborhood. You'll be helping somebody close. You don't have to haul it to a big agency to get it picked over by the people that don't need it. And I had some experience with food banks. The food bank, churches come in and get the food, and if you're not a good Christian, only scraps are left. So you give the food to people, meet people in your neighborhood, speak to them. A lot of these mothers are working long shifts, and these kids are running wild. There's nobody there. And the men and the ladies in the neighborhood can make friends with these children, and then they won't be shooting each other in 2 years. They're hungry. A lot of these young men out here are killing people because they're just trying to feed their sisters and brothers.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. There's much, much, much that we can talk about. Don't forget, if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Molly, good morning.
Yes, Liz. I just want to say that you don't go out and kill people because you're hungry. That's not going to solve anything. So,
okay, wait, you just said I know what you're talking about. If you just allow me just 1 second, Molly, I want to kind of deconstruct what you said. You said that you don't kill people because they're hungry. That's not going to solve anything. I agree wholeheartedly, Molly, that killing people because you're hungry doesn't solve anything. But there are some people, and it's a rare thing, I would hope, I don't know, that there are some people that take awful measures to fix certain things in their lives. And when people sometimes people are driven to do bad things.
Well, that's not right. It is not right.
Nobody's saying. I didn't hear her say that it was right, and I'm certainly not saying that it's right. And what I think that we need to make certain about is that we need to be a country, be a nation, be a people that give people every opportunity so that people do not make stupid decisions or bad decisions because of what's going on in their life. You teach people, you feed people, you educate people, you help people, and a lot of times bad decisions are made.
Yeah, well, that's true. I agree with you totally on that. But I've seen cases where people have had opportunities to be able to make some of these things possible, and
Molly, there are some kids that don't respond. Some people that turn out to be bad people, despite being given everything. That doesn't mean that we stop giving people things. We keep going on because there will always be an exception to the rule. But the rule is we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do for people, and despite the fact that some people won't take advantage of it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Molly.
Bye.
I'll be back. Stay with me.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Telephone service is a necessity for daily living, yet the cost of activating and maintaining such service may be too expensive for low-income consumers. The Missouri Lifeline can help individuals receive assistance for telephone service. Please contact your local telephone provider for more information or call the PSC Consumer Hotline at 1-800-392-4211. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Friday, September 8th, when my guest will be Charles Stewart, the Diet Detective. That's the Sloan Ranger Show, Friday, September 8th at 6 o'clock, only on WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
In Chicago, fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white coat in the night. They'll slip to their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need. It's the hard life, the hard life, the very hard life, the hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children,
welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hello. Yes, Liz.
Denise, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling because, it infuriates me when I hear people say that poor people are lazy and don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I live in a rural community, and I see a lot of people. I'm blessed to have a vehicle, but there are a lot of people that don't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
I know a young man who tried to go get a job. He rode a bike up to nearby community, and he was arrested because he was on the bicycle. But that's the only way he could try to get a job, you know.
Mm.
And I know people, women that have to let their babies go, for a little while with a wet diaper on because they can't afford, the Pampers.
And Denise, well, one of the things that is hurtful to me is to be alive at a time where it is fashionable almost that you condemn poor people, that you resurrect these ideas that it's about laziness, it's about don't-care-ness. When there is no effort to look at the structural mechanisms that are in place that create poverty. Poverty is created.
That's true.
And it's fixable. It's fixable. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Liz.
Yes, ma'am.
It disturbs me so much when people talk about welfare the way that they do. You know, it's so many poor people in this country.
Wait a minute. Did you hear what my guest, the president of Bread for the World, said in the last hour?
Yes.
He said that the city of St. Louis is the fourth the fourth in the nation in poverty, number of people in poverty?
Yes. And these people keep calling here. You know, I can remember, Liz, before they start they've always demonized welfare because of a few. And any system that you have anywhere, there's always going to be somebody that's going to take advantage of it and do wrong things. When you live in a world, we're living in a world where Satan is prince of this world, and he's going to use people to do wrong things. But that's such a small percentage. When they brought out the percentages of the people that were getting welfare, it didn't touch the budget. Liz?
Mm.
It's outrageous.
It really is. It's not even, as they used to say, a hay penny. Okay?
Right.
A hay penny out of the federal budget is not even a hay penny.
That's right. And these are mean-spirited. That's why it disturbed me so much when anyone would call you and try to say that you went along with, that guy you just called, his name, I forget. He's so unimportant in my life until I forgot his name.
Jim Talent? Jim Talent?
Talent.
Mm-hmm.
You brought him on there and you ripped him apart.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
And he won't come.
Don't remember that.
And he won't come back. Jim Talent will not come back to talk to me on my show.
No, he won't. He thought that you were going to be one of those amazing people. But you know, it amazes me how you have helped people understand that a lot of these people that claim that they were helping people and that they were doing their job, you expose them, and a lot of them don't even call you anymore because they wanted to use you, and I'm so glad you had sense enough, and you know, for them to think you are a lawyer, a doctor. I mean, what do they think you've been doing with your mind that you can't pick up on somebody trying to use you?
Thanks.
Oh, it's out. Liz, I tell you, I hope people wake up because things are going to get worse before they get better.
Thank you so much. You take care now. Have a great weekend.
You too, Liz.
Bye, right, bye now. 454-0400 is my phone number. I forgot that I had Talent on my show years ago before he became a senator. I forgot about that. He hadn't been back. He hadn't been back. 1-877-920-WGNU. Bob.
You know what, Liz? I tell you, back in the day of Muhammad Ali, the guy, a few months before the fight, they would give him a little conference, and he would be on the microphone bragging, saying what he's going to do, and he would do it. Very few people can do that. Liz, you are a one that can do that and hold your word up. You are awesome doing this. Do you know the Bush defenders are scared to come to you? The one you ate up Talent. It's like this, eating that coffee and donuts saying, you know what, are you going to take Liz? No, I ain't going to take her. You going to take her? No, really, I'm serious. They know. It's embarrassing. And here's the thing about the whole thing, Liz. You are making the BDs even see that you're right. So the half that won't call know that you're right. Listen, you know what? Liz Brown said that. Thank you, Liz.
Thank
Have a great
you,
day.
Bob. You too. 1-877 BD Bush Defenders. 1-877. Where are you? I miss you. I miss you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Andre.
Hey, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I got to chime in on the same thing, and I'm definitely going to see you tomorrow.
That's right. At the International Urban Institute at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. Go ahead.
And you know what? I think that's such a great thing, too, that the brothers are doing just opening up their space and helping out like that.
Oh, no, that's right. That's a black firefighter. It's a fire, from the city of St. Louis.
Because that's such a wonderful thing, and it's such a needed thing.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, the thing that always interests me about these silly little circular discussions that people have about so-called welfare, they never go right to the real target. I mean, if you want to talk about welfare, let's talk about the fact that 50 cents out of every tax dollar goes to the Pentagon.
Mm.
Let's talk about Halliburton. Let's talk about all these corporations that are getting off scot-free with their taxes, not even paying taxes. Let's talk about the fact that, I don't know if you're familiar with, well, yeah, you're a lawyer. You know what a mill is. A mill is, one, for those people who don't know, a mill is one-tenth of one dime. Well, guess what? The whole budget for welfare programs, food stamps and Medicare, Medicaid, and the like, it only comes to one-tenth of 1% of our total budget. We're not even talking about any money for real.
No, we're not. We're not talking about a halfpenny on the penny in the United States budget. We're not even talking about a halfpenny.
No.
It is, and just think about how the challenge to America is the challenge to confront its racist and its racial history.
And its inherent immorality.
And also its class issues as well.
Yes.
What would happen if every person, every black child out here had a good education, had decent food, had a decent place to live? That means that black people would be in charge of a whole lot of more things. And this country cannot, this country can deal with some poor white people making it, some white people becoming a middle class. This country can deal with that. But the idea of an empowered African community in a nation that was born out of racism and created because of racism, that's the thing that this country cannot deal with and cannot confront.
And also a nation which has lived quite deliciously off of free labor from those people oppressed, those black Africans.
Mm-hmm.
But let's don't forget that.
Very good.
Because you've gotten 400 years of free labor here. There has been a tremendous amount of wealth amassed. Whole colleges have come into Brown University. Insurance companies made millions and millions of dollars off of our free labor.
All right, got to roll. Thank you, Andre. Right. See you tomorrow. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yes. Look at this comparison. You know, what food stamps and government assistance get as opposed to what the CIA budget is.
Mm.
Or what, you know, the Pentagon is receiving in money. I want to say one thing. Tomorrow we got, you know, Slick Willie coming to town, Bill Clinton. We ought to have a nice, warm reception for him and his visit to St. Louis. You know, why is he courting these Republicans and what he's doing and everything, you know, now, you know, along with supporting Joe Lieberman and, you know, the backstabber of Al Gore. You know, let's give him a warm reception tomorrow.
All right, now. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, they're talking about the welfare. First of all, Liz, if we go back and look at how the welfare, what the main purpose that the welfare was out there for, it's not about the finance, how much money that they spent. It was to break up the black family. They got that black male out of the house. You see, and once they got him out of the house, because the only way that a black woman, could get some food into the house to feed her kids is that she had to press charges to get her husband away from there. If he wasn't working, hey, he went to jail. So the brother broke away from home. He said, hey, what can I do? It's discrimination against this. This was back in the 50s. I'm one of those people. And we had to leave. So we went to another town. We got with another woman. We got with her family. We raised her son while somebody else raised my son if he happened to run into the lady that I was with. So it was a game, like, you know.
All right.
Even the caseworker at the time, if people forget, even the caseworker was a white man. There was no white women's caseworkers. There was no black people's caseworkers. It was a white man who was going to a woman's house at 3 o'clock in the morning and telling her what to do. If she didn't do that, well, her welfare was going to be cut off. So there goes the mother went out of her way. Next thing it was the school.
Gotta go. Listen, folks, I'll be back. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your house a home. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. There's some great deals going on. There's great customer service always going on. And it's a great location always. So get on down to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me.
Good morning, Liz. This is Floyd.
Good morning, Floyd.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You know, you talk about this bread for food. It's very important for children in America because the children of St. Louis needs this food. And I think all the people here in St. Louis need also talk to Claire McCaskill, too, about this. Because she needs to understand she can support this food.
Here's the cool thing, Floyd. Claire McCaskill is going to take 6 weeks. She's going to be on my show for an hour for 6 weeks, okay, starting week after next. And we're going to have an opportunity to ask her all of those questions because I think that is a very important question. And we need to get an answer from her in terms of whether or not she supports this.
And she also, Liz, need to understand if she wants our vote, she's going to have to do this thing for us if she's going to be a senator.
Exactly.
Represent the city of St. Louis.
Exactly.
And not only St. Louis, but all America, all for our children.
That's exactly
their
right.
Children.
That's
our schools need to be fixed and things like that.
Absolutely.
And we got a man-child who's governor who has cut every program in the city of St. Louis.
And also, don't forget Jim Talent, who is...
Yes,
Jim
Mr. Talent, too.
Okay, Jim Talent brought George Bush into town to raise money for him. That's what he don't care. He is clear that everything that George Bush is about, so is Jim Talent. So what does that say about Jim Talent?
It says that he's not worth a nickel for us.
Thanks for your call.
You have a good weekend.
You too. Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake up call.
Yes, Liz. I'm glad you all are.
issue of race because, and you put it succinctly when you said that the issue, the problem is this nation's inability or unwillingness to confront its problems with race, because that's what it comes down to. I've often had discussions with people about the issue of reparations, and it's like very logical people lose the ability to process things logically when you bring this up. Well, let's just say certain Caucasian people. And when they get to the point where I say, you don't see how denying people the ability to accumulate wealth, pass that wealth on for hundreds of years can contribute to the exact economic situation they find themselves in today. And it's like they lose the ability to logically make, you know, connect those dots. And it's not that they lose that ability, really. It's just because they don't want to get to that place.
It's like any time that you confront somebody with something that they don't want to hear and you've logically broken it down for them, it's not that they don't get it. It's that they're not going to, they're not going to admit to that. They are absolutely not going to admit to that.
Exactly. Because and then when they say, well, slavery was over 100 years ago, and then they completely ignore the post-Reconstruction era with the Black Codes, of course, and the Sam Crow law.
Wait a minute. The Constitution was over a couple of hundred years ago, too. Since when does time mean that something isn't still in effect?
Exactly.
So how did that happen? What was the day that the legacy of racism died? What was the day? Because I didn't get that memo. So tell me what the thing that happened that killed the legacy of enslavement. Tell me what that thing was. And then I'm cool with it. If you can point to the thing that killed the legacy of enslavement, I'm cool with it. Just tell me what it was.
Well, yeah, you got a good point there, Liz. And I've often thought about, and I've heard you mention too, your undesire to get into politics, because I think that we live in a system, and this is just my own personal opinion, I think that for the most part, this political system we have is inherently corrupt, and it corrupts those that come into it.
See, that's not my reason. That's not my reason. That is not my reason, because I do believe that the politics that have been created, that have born out of the United States politics, it does have the potential, and in some cases it is, can be very corrupt, or is very corrupt, and it has the potential of being corrupt. But I think that part of that is that we as citizens have fallen down in our responsibility to tend to the elected officials that we send off to office. We send our black elected officials off to office. I'm talking just as a person of African descent right now. We send them off to Jefferson City, and we don't talk to them anymore. We are not up in their faces and in their lives. You don't send a child into a corruptive environment without giving them the protections and protecting them while they're there and making sure that they stay straight. School can be a corruptive place to go if there are things that gauntlets that a child has to navigate in school. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to have sex. All of those, school can have those corruptive environments too. That's why parents and family and community help keep kids straight when they're in school. We don't do that with our legislators.
I agree, and what we often find ourselves into when we make that attempt, we do have people, because as we've often heard this discussed on your show, when they see black skin, they automatically equate that with being down for the causes of black people, and that doesn't always necessarily work out that way. So when you criticize some of these people, why are you attacking this black politician and so on? So I had an incident. I won't name any names.
No, Will, I got it. Will, I got to go. But thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right. All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Johnson, good morning.
How you doing, Liz? I want to thank y'all for giving the name off the air for the attorney, for the child support. I want to let you know my brother is paying child support. And with him paying all that money, he's not able to pay for an attorney on the side. He's paying for a child that ain't even his, and they tell him that he have to get an attorney on the side. And I was wanting to let you know he's doing really bad, but he don't have the money.
That is the challenge that confronts a lot of people. That is the challenge. And you need an attorney. And there aren't attorneys out there. Legal aid doesn't do this anymore.
Right. I called it.
They don't do it.
They don't handle it.
No, they don't.
They
not anymore.
Private attorney.
Not anymore.
They don't have any money.
I know. I don't know what to tell you except that go find another job. Go find something else to put together some pennies to get it done.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only advice that I can give you, because you have to have a lawyer.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
The number.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, Liz, I don't entertain no illusions. I live life, and I made an independent living as long as I've been here. And I've seen this man for what he's worth. So I don't look to him for nothing.
Look to who for what?
This man here, the white man. When they keep on talking about devil and this and that about it, if you bring that above ground and look out into it, you'll see him right in front of your face.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Malik. I don't think that when people are talking about what should be done, what must be done, and they're not asking anybody for anything. What they're saying is that this is how things are supposed to be. No one is asking.
No, that's not my point. That's not my point at all. I know what they're doing. What I'm saying is this. I don't expect anything out of him. You can ask him. That's what you're supposed to do. Let him know that you know. But it's, at the same time, I went on about making my living independent of him.
Okay,
and when I learned and began to teach, I continued the same thing. So when I call these talk shows, a lot of times I don't call for no advice. I call to drop some information or make a comment. But as far as me, I live my life.
Okay, but
he ain't going to run over me that way.
Well,
I just look at our young people. For instance, they get food stamps. They take the food stamp program. Look, they eat 3 or 4 times a day. When this man is trying to starve you, I know how to buck him.
Okay.
Try to reduce your intake of foods so you can wrestle with the situation until you can get control of it. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Thank you, Malik.
Have a good day.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm looking at Wall Street Journal today. Wall Street Journal. Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch makes, his salary was $25 million in the year that ended on June 30th. His corporation is paying him, okay, now that's what he makes. The corporation is paying for his rent. And his rent is, you ready for this, Howard? His rent is $50,000 a month. $50,000 a month. And that is what his corp. So he's not, Rupert Murdoch is not writing a rent check every month for $50,000. His corporation is paying this. Huh. Patrick McGurn, a corporate governance expert, said he's never heard of a company paying for an executive's personal residence in the city in which the company has its headquarters. Huh. Does News Corp pay for his primary residence? No. So why should they pay for the replacement residence? That just boggles the mind. This is a secondary residence. $50,000 a month in rent. And he got a raise last year of 10%. You know, there are some of you out there saying, free market, that's, we should be able to live in a society that is accepting of that. Shame on you. A pox on your house. That you think that is something that should be acceptable in any society. That a man who makes $25 million a year should have his $50,000 a month rent paid by a corporation. Secondary place where he lives. That's not even his primary place of living. That's an obscenity. That is greed, pure and simple. And is there, I don't think that living in the United States of America entitles me to be greedy. Not at none. Because greed is always at somebody's expense. Greed is always at somebody's expense. Sometimes the expense is you.
But as always, it's somebody else's expense. So we as a society, how can you defend greed? Greed is not good. Greed is godless. Put that on a T-shirt. Greed is godless. 1-877-920-WGNU. Did I tell you what my name is? My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me because we have much business, much business to tend to.
Reverend E.L. Sims, the pastor of the Grace Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, located at 2601 Marcus. If you want to hear the true, unadulterated Word of God, I invite you to join me every Saturday morning. God speaks in a mighty way, and He has a message of salvation that you can't afford to miss. So listen every Saturday morning for the Grace Tabernacle Radio Ministry at 9:30, right here on WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Washington. The Army is testing the concept of using private recruiting organizations to get more people to join the military. The current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan have made it difficult to keep up with monthly quotas for both the Army and the Reserve, even with new signing bonuses and a higher maximum age requirement. There have also been increasing reports of recruiting violations and unethical and illegal acts by military recruiters. So the Army has enlisted two companies called Serco and MPRI to see how well they can do. So far, they have over 4,000 people working across the country and have signed up 15,000 soldiers. They get a little under $6,000 for each person they recruit. These companies have started to make a game out of the recruiting process for their employees, offering perks from cash bonuses to leather jackets. Each recruiter starts out at about $20,000, but can make at least $50,000 or better with bonuses and commissions. The Army says it's happy with the pilot project and wants to continue the $170 million funding for it. And Dateline New York. Another bit of information regarding the 9/11 attacks. There was controversy over whether Building 7 at the World Trade Center collapsed from the damage to the Twin Towers or whether it was knocked down by rescue personnel. It was revealed that the CIA had an office operating in Building 7 that was part of its counter-terrorist and counterintelligence operations. CIA officials conducted in-depth assessments to make sure that all documents in that office were not lost that day. The New York Times had previously reported that the office was used as a base of operations to spy on and recruit foreign diplomats who were stationed at the UN. It also conducted debriefing of business executives and others who returned to the U.S. from overseas assignments. The CIA says none of its personnel were lost in the collapse of the building that day. World Trade Center 7 was 47 floors tall and also had leased space to the Secret Service, the Defense Department, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, and the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as the CIA. Building 7 was the furthest structure in the complex from the Twin Towers and sustained no major damage from the collapse of them. But it was not hit by any aircraft. It is known that isolated fires were observed on the south side of the building between the 6th and 12th floors, but they were not addressed by the fire department because of the catastrophe with the Twin Towers. The official report is that those fires caused the building to collapse straight down, meaning all four of the load-bearing walls would have had to fail at the same time, even though the fire appeared to be only on one side of the building. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Rather
rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, rise up. They see myself, got to rise up. You got to rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, rise up. Touch the sun, catch the breeze, we're gonna fly up. In love, we see that no man is an island. Sing and we go by the silence. Now don't you run from the arc and its power. Hiding away every day in your ivory.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And I think it's time. I think it's time. I think it's time. I'm feeling it. Psychic that way. I can feel it. I can feel the drums when they're getting ready to handle their business, do their stuff. You know why you might, you know why you're hearing the drums? You're hearing the drums because it's time for the Liz Brown Because We Care package giveaway. That's right. All of you all that have been calling in, they have a chance at one of these giveaway bags. Well, today's your lucky day. I'm getting ready to pull the name as we spin the magic barrel here, filled to the brim with all kinds of names of people that want to get one of these Liz Brown Because We Care packages. Well, looky, looky, we have Eva Prater. Eva Prater, I believe this is. Congratulations.
Prater.
Eva Prater. Congratulations, Eva Prater. Let me do one more. One more winner is a Dolores Powell. Congratulations to Eva and Dolores. You are the winners of the Liz Brown Because We Care package. Congratulations. As always, next week. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes. Good morning, number one fabulous Liz Brown.
Mr. Davis, good morning.
Teach, Liz. Teach.
All right now.
Yes. I just wanted to say that I was going through one of these travel magazines, you know, and you see all of these fine beachfront homes and lodges and everything for the tourists, and that all over, everywhere you go, you see this here with everything so fine and great down on the beach. But the indigenous people of those lands are just in bad shape as they can be. So when you were talking about greed, that's the thing that happens in those different places. You know, I feel very blessed, Liz. I've been able to travel 3/4 of the way around the world with the organization that I belong to, and we were in Johannesburg, South Africa, and one of the finest hotels you ever would want to stay in. You know, it's fantastic, but 10 blocks down the street, because of greed, the people, the indigenous people of South Africa, did not even have running water or electricity, Liz. So that greed is
greed is godless. We live in a nation that defends greed, and they defend it in so many different ways. They defend it with the way that the market structure is right now, that we can have a minimum wage, but we can't have a maximum wage.
Yes.
You know, we need both of those things. We need a maximum wage, and we need a minimum wage. We have people that define greed when they say, if you just think about the concept that is being pushed at us, and even
during this election time by people that are saying, I'm so greedy that I want to be able to take my wealth even after I've died and not have to pay any taxes on it. Okay, I want to take it. I want to take it with me.
Yeah.
It's awful.
What did the Congress do? They're having such a heck of a time of raising the minimum wage, but they have raised the congressman and the senator's salary 10 times in the last 10 years. Yeah,
absolutely.
Raised theirs.
Absolutely.
And then this fellow you're talking about getting 25,000 a month?
No, Mr. Davis, that is not what I said. I just want the world to be clear about what I said.
Okay.
This is a man who makes $25.7 million a year in salary.
Yeah.
He is asking his company, this company is paying, because he's the CEO of it, $50,000 a month for his rent.
For his rent. If that isn't greed, and that, I don't know what is, Liz.
I don't know either, and it's godless. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that the International Urban Institute meets, of course, this Saturday. What is the time? The time is 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's this Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. That's the International Urban Institute. You need to get there. And we're going to be changing the world. We're going to be changing the world. And we got to get this done. We got to. So come on out on tomorrow and help us change the world. I want to share this with you. There's an amazing story that's in, and I don't know what the explanation for this is. I want to end with this mystifying story that I noticed in USA Today. The mystifying story that I noticed in USA Today. They're noticing a phenomena, okay? A phenomena amongst people, baby boomers. They're calling them people in their 50s and above. Baby boomers' use of marijuana and other drugs is increasing. The numbers of baby boomers using drugs are increasing. And we're talking about people in the ages 50 to 59. It rose 63% from 2002 to 2005. Isn't that something? Baby boomers. Their drug use rose 63%. What do you suppose that's about? Baby boomers, people in their 50s. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Okay. You know, sometimes I think about, when people say, go back to where you came from, go back to Africa, right? I just got this very, very, not even 25 words show up at home. Can I say it for it right quick?
Okay.
We black folks are the only ones that were brought here against our will, because white men were too lazy to cultivate stolen property. Thank you, Liz. Have a good weekend.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's a mystifying statement. To go back, huh? Go back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Please don't forget that the Urban Institute meets tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Be there 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. We'll have a bit of a breakfast there for you, something for you to nosh upon. We'll have some copies of Loose Change for you as well. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, I will be back on Monday morning. Stay strong.
Going to give it to you. You were born with was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.